Kane here live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, high atop Chicago, in for Nick D until 5 a.m. today, and we have kind of an eclectic blend again of great stuff for you here. We're going to do some of the things that that Nick would be excited about with some of the people that Nick would be excited about, along with kind of breaking down some of the election stuff. I know there's going to be some thoughts on the Oscars, as well as the smoke continues to clear on what was an exciting, I think, a rewarding, I think, an emotional, a disappointing, a frustrating, a vexing Oscar situation, as well as the election situation that happened here too, with the with record low turnouts, which makes you think that, you know, Dino, I don't know if you got a chance to hear yesterday, but we went through some of the kind of cool little election things that happen around the world, you know, like in Chile, where the men and women traditionally vote separately, right? Or in Brazil, where you could be 16 and vote, right? Where,
hey, why not?
Where you could do, like, you know, free, you know, I don't know, cell phone gift cards, or like, you know, I don't know, iTunes memberships, I think, would do that. But if Dr. Willie Wilson would have got out there, because I know in his commercials he was handing out a lot of money, and if he would have just been more, because that's an incentive, right?
Is sure, whatever gets him to the polls.
And that's what he said, whatever he has to do within his significant to whatever he can do to inspire the political process for people to get in there and participate in what is the greatest institution in America, voting. And sometimes, you know, you've got to, let's just be realistic, what is a chicken in every pot? A chicken in every pot is like, here's a chicken you don't have to buy. In maybe a pot that you don't have to buy. When you think about pots and you think about pans, coming up a little bit later, right after we get into this first break, so just a couple of minutes, we've got the Vice President of Marketing, Liana Salama. She is going to be calling us regarding the International Houseware Show. So you get the chicken, right, from a politician standpoint. You need
to buy the pot.
Need a pot to put it in. Maybe you need a food processor for those sides.
Could use one of those.
And maybe you want some of the biggest stars in food to do a cooking demonstration in the KitchenAid Cooking Theater in order to kind of show you the best techniques to cook the chicken in every pot and to make it great for your family. So excited as the world kind of converges here in Chicago for one of those great, I mean, it's a trade show, but it is huge. And you're going to be able to hear a little bit about some of the exciting things happening that a lot of the manufacturers and a lot of those inventors, some cool things happening that are going to be part of your life coming up as we go through the year, all coming and stemming from International Houseware. So that's going to be coming up right after that first break, just a couple minutes, so stay tuned for that. Blockbuster Blake Stubbs is going to be on with us. He's brought to you by Bona Beef today. So we're going to have not only Nancy Pizza, we talked about pizza, some of your favorite pizzas. Dina, do you have a favorite pizza?
I think if I had to pick right now, depends on thin or thick. If it's thick, it's Lou Malnati's. Thin, there's a couple of them. There's one called Ach and Lou's out in Aurora that is a favorite of mine. It's a local
shout
place.
Out.
Absolutely, yeah. It's one of my favorite places to get pizza from. And when you're talking thin crust, you know, that's one of my favorites. I mean, I've been going there for a few years now, and I really like it. But there's a lot of other ones that are right in the team picture.
And I'm open to, it depends on the mood. You know, the spirit moves you in certain ways, and sometimes a lose is exactly what you need. Sometimes you're looking for, like, you know, like a Spaconopoli, like a Neapolitan wood-fired pizza that's kind of thin and crispy with some fresh toppings on there. And sometimes it's, you know, you wash up on the island of Jack as your oasis, and, you know, it's late at night, and you can doctor up your own pizza and put it in there. Nancy's Pizza is going to be kicking in some pizza today to kind of help us usher in some of our favorite pizza conversation and talking. So we'll have one of those for the listeners as well. As we, and Dino, you kind of kicked off that conversation, as it's cold here, but it's warm, as those kind of hope springs eternal on the keeping the home fires burning for the Hot Stove League, and of course for spring training, where it is warmer. Is, you know, you got White Sox Cubs baseball starting, so we're going to talk with Blake Stubbs about the all-time favorite baseball movies. And you think to yourself, well, geez, how many could there be? Initially, my thought would be, and I agree, we concurred, it was 12. But apparently, there are more movies, because there's 25 all-time favorites, which assumes that there's some that don't make that list.
That's right. Yeah. And we'll dig those up, too.
Yeah, and so Blake's going to be talking to us about 2 o'clock, and we're going to go through some of those great movies, and we'll have... you guys can kick in with your own. You can start doing that immediately, 312-981-7200. You can text in your favorites, and why everybody who texts in or calls in will be entered into the hopper, and we'll pull a winner before the end of the show for some of those gift cards for Bona Beef, the official beef of both the Cubs and the White Sox, and for Nancy's Pizza. You ever had a Nancy's Pizza?
Yes, I have, actually. There was a couple locations. There was one in Elmhurst when I was living in the Bensonville area there, and we used to get one from there now and then.
And so, how do you celebrate a big electoral victory? With pizza, right?
Oh, there's no doubt. That's just a staple.
So we'll talk about Chicago politics and some of the I don't know what it would be, slogans, right? Vote early, vote often, you know, all the
or just don't vote at all.
Don't vote.
That's right. This year's theme.
Don't vote at all.
Don't vote at all.
I think this was an opportunity. Here's an opportunity to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to have Liana. She is the Vice President of Marketing for International Housewares Association. Stay tuned for that. Staying here, 720 WGN.
Yeah! I just want to tell you right now that
Hi, this is Stephanie Izard, and you're on the road with Dane on WGN.
I really do believe that something's got a hold on me here.
I must be the 720 WGN. Hi, it's Tom Chicago in the Allstate Skyline Studio. It is Dane here with you until 5 a.m. in for Nick. Along with me, riding shotgun today, broadcast is the one and only Dino Tiberi. You know him as the prodigal nephew of Larry from Aurora, and also, of course, the man who can channel both sides of town when it comes to the amazing and impassioned baseball works of Harry Carey. So, Dino, great to have you in.
Wow, you're too kind, Dan. Thanks for those kind words.
You know, here's the thing. Harry Carey would have used some kind of special, like a beer chiller or something like that. I saw this at the International Houseware Show a few years ago. You sit your mug there, and inside of, I don't know, 30 seconds, maybe shorter, it would freeze and give you sort of an icy cold mug. Not that that's important, but I know Harry Carey would have appreciated it.
A lot easier to enjoy your ice cold Falstaff or Budweiser if it's ice cold in the mug.
However you like it and however you make it, for whether it's kitchens, whether it's appliances, whether it's a lot of different goods that you would use for the home. International Houseware Show happens. It happens right here in Chicago, and the world converges here. And a person who has her hand on the pulse of so much of it is the Vice President of Marketing for IHA, the one and only Liana Salama. Liana, welcome to WGN.
Hi, Dane. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you, especially as we're getting towards kind of you're not in the eye of the storm yet. You're sort of in the suburbs of the eye of the storm.
Yeah. You know,
but I know with this, you know, just like any big giant undertaking, you're probably working, you know, the day after it ends last year, you're working on another one. We're excited for another big IHA show.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. We are set to put on our 122nd edition of the International Home and Housewares Show starting this Saturday, March 2nd, and running through Tuesday, March 5th. So, yeah, we're looking forward to it. We'll be working on it for a long time.
Well, here's the thing. I've covered it for probably over a dozen years, and even though it is not open necessarily to the public, it is the kind of thing that the public has such an interest in, because so many of those products that we'll see on shelves, or maybe that we'll see for decades on shelves as kind of iconic home appliances, they get their start right there at the show.
Yeah, they sure do. You know, last year I know that Instant Pot was a big hit, you know, and now you're seeing that everywhere. So, yes, even though it's not open to the public, the products that are introduced and showcased at this event are really the ones that you're going to start to see on retail shelves. And you can get kind of a sneak peek of that by paying attention to some of the news that's coming out of the event over the next week or so.
Yeah, we're going to preview some of those, and some of those either kind of cutting-edge things or on the tech side, mm-hmm. or just some of the trends that are happening. You know, we're able to share some of those things. You talk about 120 years of the show. I cannot even imagine, like, what was happening in the first, was it like the fork was like, you know, what was at that first show?
Seriously. Well, and can you imagine that at one of these shows was maybe the first time somebody came out with a toaster oven, or somebody came out with a certain kind of blender. So there's been all kinds of introductions of new products at the show over the years. So we're excited to see what it brings this time around.
We get kind of, you know, we take it for granted because it happens here. And so we get an opportunity to get in here and see it. But for the, you know, so for us, it's an easy commute, but it's the International Houseware Show. Give kind of a little bit of perspective on where people are coming from, you know, as far as some of the corners of the earth, and then even on the exhibitor side, where they're coming from. And, you know, all those people that attend, they are coming from worldwide.
Yeah, absolutely. We are bringing in about 60,000 people for this event, and those folks are coming in from more than 130 countries around the world. So, you know, I mean, this is really a fantastic international showcase for one of the world's great cities here. This is an opportunity for a lot of people to experience what Chicago is all about.
And so, and then on the celebrity side, you know, you get a bunch of people where it is a great place to see them demoing, to see some of those relationships that some of our favorite TV food stars, celebrity chefs have with some of those products. And is that something that you guys have seen? Was it always that way? I mean, was Betty Crocker getting involved with certain things back in the day, or is this something that's relatively new, maybe in the last 10 years or so, as kind of celebrity chefs have kind of hit the stride on the big stage?
Yeah, I would say that's a relatively new phenomenon if you consider the last 10 years or so to be relatively new. Folks are really paying attention to what chefs are doing and trying to emulate a lot of what they do in their own home. And what we do, education in general at the show is a really valuable component. But part of that is our cooking theater, which is sponsored by KitchenAid, which is where we have celebrity chefs come in throughout all 4 days of the show, and they demonstrate various recipes and culinary techniques using the products that are all across our show floor. So this year, for example, we're excited to welcome chefs Rick Bayless, Kat Cora, Aisha Curry, Robert Irvine, Fabio Viviani. Those guys are all set to appear for us. And as you mentioned, it's not open to the trade, but I'm excited to announce that we are going to be live streaming these celebrity chef demonstrations on one of our websites, which is theinspiredhome.com.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's great, though. I mean, I think that's an opportunity, too, for, some of the general public to be able to see some of these new items or new gadgets or pot and pan lines or new knives or something and see them in action with some of their favorite stars happening right there. I think that's very cool. And we're going to be doing a demo as well. So we're going to be highlighting, having some conversations through one of those demos on the KitchenAid cooking stage to give a little bit of backstory to some of those personalities and highlight some of the products as well. So it's cool to see that not only we'll be able to share it here at WGN, but it'll be online as well. That's really great.
Yeah, we're excited.
So here's the other thing of it that's happening, too, as far as housewares. And you look at the different kind of the scope of the different products that are there. And you've got some mainstays that have been there, not maybe the 120 years, but 100. And we talked about KitchenAid and the cooking stage. I think that that's a testament. So as a guy who travels around the country, whether it's I just got back from South Beach Wine and Food, and of course, Aspen, New York, and all of those ones. And KitchenAid is there. They're there sponsoring that KitchenAid cooking theater all over the place. So it's exciting to see them as 100 years as a company still being kind of a cornerstone for the show here coming up this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. And, a lot of those big guys are doing some really outstanding things in terms of innovation, in terms of, coming up with new household gadgets, whether it is kitchen or whether it's throughout the home. You see a lot of folks coming up with products for the home that are outside of what we traditionally think of as housewares.
Yeah, so we're going to highlight all of that stuff. And the last thing here is, I think of it as a lot of the appliances. So you see a lot of those great things that people use in the kitchen and all of the, pots and pans and knives and things. But then there's that whole lakeside side where you've got, whether it's grilling and barbecue supplies or whether it is just things for the home. I think Fergie was there a couple of years ago doing something with like hair crimpers and, and you've got like space heaters. You've got a ton of things going on.
Yeah, really, the show used to be known as the International Housewares Show, and it was changed several years ago to the International Home and Housewares Show to try and better encapsulate just the breadth of products and the different functions that they serve that are all across our show floor. There's a lot of things out there that the average person might not expect to be part of housewares, but it's all part and parcel to, to really developing a lifestyle in your home.
Well, creating so many of those things, right, that we'll be using. The website is housewares.org. And one more time, Leanna, if you could, for where people can kind of watch those demos for the cooking theater. We'll have those links here at WGN Radio as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's theinspiredhome.com. Which is actually, that is the International Housewares Association's consumer-facing platform. It was developed about 4 years ago to connect our manufacturer members directly to the consumer through lifestyle content. So recipes, well-being, home organization, any kind of content that really speaks to developing a fulfilling lifestyle. And if I may, I do have an announcement, a piece of news that we announced just this last week.
Wow.
Which is that, so beginning in 2020, we are actually renaming the International Home and Housewares Show. It will be known as the Inspired Home Show. And that's really our our effort is around taking that consumer sensibility, which has gone away from kind of this price-driven, product-specific purchase, into buying products that contribute to a lifestyle that they're trying to build. And that consumer sensibility is really important for our retail attendees as well as for our manufacturers. So by rebranding the show to the Inspired Home Show in 2020, it will remain trade-only, but it will start to really bring in that consumer perspective.
Wow. Well, see, I think that's what it is. And a lot of these products are less just practical and functional and more kind of, you mentioned it, lifestyle, more kind of quality of life issues. You know, how do you want to live and how do you want your products to kind of integrate with what it is that you do, your lifestyle, what you and your family do all the time? And it'll be the Inspired Home Show. I think that's going to be really cool. And it's cool to see the show becoming more things to more people, not only from the business perspective, and that is obviously huge and a big part of it is a trade show, but also kind of integrating, like you said, all those people that have to fit into that equation on the consumer side. So it's going to be exciting. I look forward to seeing you guys out there, and thanks so much for staying up a little later and jumping on the show tonight.
Absolutely, Dane. Thanks so much for having me.
All right, thanks. That's Liana Salama from the Inspired Home Show. It's not called that yet. I'm just on the crystal ball. I'm in the
preview.
International Home and Housewares. Dino, have you ever been to that show?
I have not. I'm not as well connected as you are, my friend. So, sounds interesting.
It could be, well, we're going to be doing sort of like a demo. They do demos. So imagine you've seen all of those things, right? So you have like a Paula Deen up there, you know, or a Kat Cora, Robert Irvine, and he'll be up there kind of demonstrating different products. They always have some cool things that they're doing. And then we're going to be doing sort of a radio kind of remote style demo where we'll have, you know, some of those top personalities and also kind of highlight some of the products. You know, I can't think of as many offhand. She mentioned Instapop, but that's one of those things that you didn't hear anything about like 2 years ago. And now, you know, there's a little bird named Esther in my ear. Like, we got to get an Instapot. We need an air fryer. See, whoever's making these commercials.
They're going right through to your wife, aren't they?
Yeah, that's right. They're channeled. Well, they've cracked the code. Yeah. You know, they've got that. Whereas maybe it was the ShamWow a few years ago.
That's right.
You know, everybody, your Slap Chop, you know, and now.
It's not even subliminal now. It's right, just comes right out and asks. Esther, you need this.
You need it. Well, they're pretty straightforward with how they say things, and they will say those exact words, Dino. They will say, you need it.
You need it.
You're like, you know, remember how your life was horrible before, and then it's all black and white, and they're just using like the same pot and pan.
Look at you now.
Like, but now, like, and then everything's in color. It's like, that's when we invented, you know, super air fryer. And it's like, it can do this, it can do that. It can do anything. I mean, I'm not sure if it said it could mow your lawn, but it's doing it all.
I would believe it if they told me. You never know with technology now. It's amazing.
They had something that was a combination, I think, Instapot air fryer. It was called like the foodie something, or maybe we'll look it up during the break. Maybe Ben can find it, where it had the ability, you make your entire meal in this container. It looks like a, you know, for the people out there, it looks sort of like a crock pot. But it's got a basket up top that has like air fryer properties so that you can make the crispiest fries. And then so there's someone snapping a fry and it's just like, you might as well be breaking a twig.
Right.
You know, or your leg. It was a crack. You know, and then everyone, you know, the faces of these people. Have you ever had dinner, Dino? You know, I think where you sit there and then everyone takes a bite of something and then they back up and throw your head back. Oh, my gosh. It's so delicious.
God, I can't believe this. Right, this is the best I've ever had.
Beside myself. And then beside
and next to myself.
I'm next to the other guy, too. Yeah, it's it's just that's marketing, right? And then they've got the on the pellet smoker side. We've been covering a lot of that for part of the tailgate stuff, you know, where you see those. Have you seen the one for the Traeger pellet smoker?
I'm sure I have. If I saw it, it does everything. Sure I remember it.
So it's a grill, and I love grills. I love barbecue. I love all that stuff. I mean, it's a big deal for me. But Esther's kind of like into, you know, we're all into grill sort of. We like a, but it isn't for every single meal, or is it? Because
it could be.
They show you like making pies and ice cream in the grill. You could do almost anything.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to do a little bit of research on that. Then we're going to talk about, it started with chicken in every pot, and you can get a pot and see the next advancement of the world of the pot and pan at the International Housework Show. We'll be covering that this weekend. But on the politics side, you know, you're going to want to, you know, go ahead and be happy with your politics and your politicians. Unfortunately, people decided not to participate. And so we'll delve into that a little bit, maybe because no one's exciting. And then, and Dino, you're going to give your thoughts on and what would resonate with the potential voter. You could up that participation level. So quick break, then we're going to come back. Then we're going to send it to news. It's Dane here in for Nick until 5720 WGN.
Introducing the Power Air Fryer XL, the 6-in-1 revolutionary kitchen miracle with one-touch technology that fries with superheated cyclonic air with little to no oil and up to 80% less fat. Look, processed chicken fingers versus power air fried chicken fingers. Ah. They look the same. They both taste great, but theirs has 780 calories.
Power air fried chicken fingers with cyclonic air.
Do you want fast food fries?
That's pretty great.
Both crispy and tasty.
Don't you think?
That's fantastic.
Wow. That is awesome. So here's the thing. That was just for those people out there that were maybe confused by what they were hearing.
Hearing a commercial.
It was kind of a bumper commercial kind of combo thing. So it wasn't a real commercial, although if I would have heard the full commercial, I would have been getting out that credit card. Because if you've got
you can get an extra one. Just additional shipping is all you need.
Superheated.
Two for one.
Cyclonic air.
But wait, there's more.
That's what, you know, but that's how a lot of those things kind of start on the advancement side. I got a chance to get to know Vince Offer. Now, Vince Offer was the guy who created the Slap Chop and also ShamWow. And the reason I'm kind of stumbling a little bit is because those were products that were also from the guys called the Pitchmen. So, and they usually have a role to play at Housewares as well with some of those great products that come out that are, you know, I don't want to say they're gimmicky, but they are, you know, they're kind of things that, you know, that are sort of fun. It's not necessarily a product that's going to be, you know, a mainstay in your kitchen forever, but it's the kind of thing that, you know, it cleans up messes or it's a food processor or some yep. of those things. You know, like Billy Mays, remember? He's
yeah.
yelling into his car, like, you know, or whatever, the blue lot. I don't know what they do. So there's a handful of those guys. And they had created things, you know, it's not necessarily who comes up with the idea first. It's who comes up with the idea and then also who markets the idea better, you know, and finds yeah. a way to best resonate with people, unlike what our politicians here in the city did when it came to the election. And so on the product side, there it was Zorbies, I think, was the first one that came out. So those guys came out with Zorbies. It was purple. If you'll remember, the ShamWow was more of sort of a chamois kind of yellowy orange kind of thing. They all did the same stuff. You know, they soaked up things, right?
And, right.
I guess after, because there were some kind of debunking documentaries afterwards that said they really weren't any more absorbent than anything else. But, you know, of course, you can project some magic cyclonic air style properties on them, and then you're good to go. And so they had come out with those first. And then Vince Offer came up with, you know, ShamWow, and he did it sort of like kind of farmer's market huckster, you know, a step right up kind of way, you know, and it really resonated. He did a great job with it. Same with the Slap Chop and some of those other things. But there was a lot of controversy. They were mad at him because they had come out with those products first. He tweaked them a little bit, changed the color.
Put his own spin on it and put it back out there.
He pizzazzed them up. And because, okay, we all remember the Snuggie, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, the first one was the Slankit. Was first
thing. The Slankit.
100% true. Yeah. So the Slankit came out, you know, and so
a horrible name. Slankit.
Well, I don't know where the SL part comes out. I mean, I guess
slacking blanket.
Yeah, it's blanket. I get it, right? So it's a blanket, but you're because the whole Snuggie thing, if people remember, is a blanket, but you sort of wear it like a poncho or something.
They did a spoof of it with Tom Skilling on the WGN Morning News. Hilarious! It was like the Tom Skilling Snuggie.
Oh.
It was fantastic.
I think the possibilities are endless as far as like the, you know, the celebrity endorsements that you could have.
Oh, of course.
Because you could have, think about this. So a Tom Skilling kind of Snuggie, which is, you know, a blanket that you sort of wear, but you could stand up and it could have sort of the green screen where you could kind of
wear it anywhere.
Yeah, you could say like, hey,
I'm at a ball game right now. As you see, I've got my Snuggie on.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh my gosh! Yeah, so think about that. I guess, you know, 312-981-7200. Your favorite infomercials of all times, the ones that have worked on you. You know, I am oftentimes, you know, we've had, you know, three kids, and sometimes the sleeping, sometimes stuff that we're doing here, right? So the time that you're sleeping, the time that the infomercials, you know, have sort of the reign over the television, can sort of collide, and you get to see some of those things like the Dr. Shabag and his amazing melon, right? That one is on all the time. It's,
oh, wow.
It's something where, no, it's like a youth, you know, I don't know, you put it on your face and you're great, you know, or it's mostly for ladies, obviously, but anyway, you see that, or maybe Tony Little, right, in the Gazelle. Do you remember that one?
I remember Tony Little.
You know, he's doing his thing back and forth with these handles, and he's explaining why it's the... you know, it's
best workout you can get.
It's what you need, you know. I think that's like a specific talent when you can take, the, you know, whatever product it is and whatever kind of mundane, kind of normal thing that it does, whether it helps you kind of be better, look better, feel better, make things better, you know, or be healthier or whatever. And you kind of build it into that infomercial style. It's exciting stuff. And I guess when you can build in sports heroes like Tony Little,
the possibilities then are endless. You could just you can sell just about anything.
Oh wait, okay. So this is exactly what we're talking about. 312-981-7200. If you've got you know, one of your favorite ones, especially if you're a listener to Nick D's show, you probably have a split screen of life going on where you got part of you know, you're listening to the WGN radio app, right, and then the rest you're watching an infomercial. We've got Paul on the line. Paul, welcome to the show.
Yeah, have you seen the? The new indoor smokeless grill.
If this is it, and correct us if we're wrong, but they're basically they do the kitchen thing and they explain this is, you know, Chef Larry, who's the most famous chef. I've never heard of him, and I know a lot of these people. So, and it is like a little thing that you can do. It's like a hibachi for the countertop, right? But they call it a smokeless grill.
It vacuums the smoke down inside, and then it doesn't come out. So it's supposed to be, you know, won't set off the fire alarm.
Well, I think that's an important point, especially if you're living in an urban environment. You don't have maybe a place to put a grill. You could do it, but you don't have the
charge. I believe when you order it, you get a free air fryer with it.
No. See, now there's another hook right there.
Paul, that's too good to be true. Tony,
just get a pitchman to do that together. Look out.
So here's what we're going to do. We're going to prime the pump before we let you go, Paul. What's your favorite baseball movie of all time, if you have one? If you don't, it's okay.
Probably the... what is the one...
Oh, did we lose him? All right, well, we lost him. We lost him.
But... Sorry, Paul.
So we're gonna Paul, give a call back and give us your movie. We'll enter you to win the Bona Beef or the Nancy gift card. We do have David on the line, and this is one of those things. I am sure that this is probably at Housewares, maybe the current version. It's got probably like a fish finder GPS on it or whatever. but Ron Propeel and the Pocket Fisherman.
Oh, yeah, the Pocket Fisherman.
Yeah, we got David on the line. David, welcome to the show.
Yeah, my dad still has it. That took him an hour and a half to reel in a... 8-inch catfish. So we had to toss it back because it's under size. So I thought it was funny that it took him an hour and a half to reel in that full catfish.
Of course, they show the commercial. And here's the thing, is that what they do, and it's just like Leanna said, is that you're a person of lifestyle. You want to be able to enjoy those great times at any moment. So let's say you're wandering.
Just walking down along the lakefront. Hey, I'm going to throw a cast in right now.
Yeah, you don't need a tackle box. You don't need a pickup truck filled
with it. I need a pocket.
Just a pocket, right? And then this, and you spin it. And for the people out there that may not be aware, it was about the size. Wouldn't you say it was maybe about the size of like a water pistol or something, right? And it would just flip out and you'd sort of...
Well, it's about the size of my shoe, and I wear a size 11.
So you got to have a relatively large pocket.
There you go.
That's awesome.
What was really funny is the tackle box that came with it that's supposed to fit in the handle.
Well, you know what? If you're a good fisherman, and you could take this straight from like Jimmy Houston or Babe Winkleman, if you've got the right lure, you can catch anything.
Yeah, that's right. Even with the pocket fisherman, it might take you 2 weeks to reel it in, but...
All right.
Yeah, it was 8-pound test line.
All right. All right. Thank you, David. We appreciate it.
Yeah, have fun.
All right. Have a good bye.
Thanks. And then we got Steve is on the line. And this is one of those, you know, you think about, you know, you've got sort of a Chicago connection on the SNL side. And then you've also got one of the great infomercials of all time, real or unreal, right?
Yeah.
And Steve is going to tell us about it. Steve, welcome to the show.
No, I love the old Bronco and the Popio ones. Like, they have the record selector, and like you just mentioned, the pocket fisherman. But yeah, the SNL sketches were classic with Aykroyd and Gene Curtin.
Yeah, the Bass-O-Matic was one of my favorites of all time. That's good bass.
Well, in for a Halloween show. They had the Bat-O-Matic about a season later.
There you go.
Well, you know what they say. The bat is the chicken of the cave.
Bat-O-Matic. Wow.
Oh, I forgot to ask Dave, but Steve, do you have your favorite baseball movie you want to be entered in to win the gift card?
I already texted him, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, we'll have to get that text from Ben. Thanks for jumping on the line. We appreciate it.
Yep.
All right, so there we go. So the some of these great infomercials, you know, and I don't know if the intention, because if you remember back to the, you know, the Pro Peel Pocket Fisherman, it was like, hey, you're just walking along, and all of a sudden, you know,
got nothing better to do, but I got my Pocket Fisherman in my ear ready to go.
I don't know if it has nothing better to do, but like I think it just implies that you're always wanting to fish, like no matter what you're doing.
I know friends of mine that are avid fishermen, and they look. That'd probably be perfect for them, because if they found a puddle of water, they might cast it in that. That's just how nutty they are about it.
Well, you want to be able to recreate some of those best moments in life, and some of the best moments, whether you're there with your friends or all by yourself at a peaceful moment, is fishing. And so if you could fish at any moment, and now, but the whole pocket part, because, you know, Kevin had mentioned that it's about the size of a giant
shoe. Size 11 shoe.
Smuggle
so
that.
If I took my shoe up and tried to put my shoe in my pocket, it might fit.
I mean, not really. Yeah, you'd need it could be like the small satchel fisherman or something. All right, we've got Debbie on the line. Debbie, welcome to WGN.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, Debbie. So you're up late at night, because that's really one of those shows are usually on. What are some of the infomercials that have had an impact on you?
I was so addicted to infomercials. I had almost every gadget except for one. The Ronco, set it and forget it. I'm 55 years old. I've been a mom since I was 19. I had every gadget. I had Tony Little's first workout tape. So I will not let it go. I always was kind of jealous of his long blonde ponytail.
Yes.
But... you know, I had the set and forget it was the one gadget I really wanted. I did see the Pocket Fisherman at a garage sale, and I put my hand on it, and a very large man put his hand on it. I let him have it. But I wish Walgreens, which I worked for, would come back and bring me a Pocket Fisherman. I have four grandsons, and I told them about it. And I said, boy, I would really love just to have it.
I think they could make some advancements now. You know, throw a little bit of electronics in there. Like you said, a fish finder, you know, maybe a GPS, maybe a digital clock. I don't know. You know,
I think simple is better, especially for a little guy. And I think it'd be something. My grandsons are 15, well, and my two little ones are 9 and 7. With my five children, they have made fun of me for years. All the gadgets I've had. I still have the Tony Little tape. Billy Banks workout tape. I actually got to the advanced stage. But those gadgets, I still want to spin mop. I haven't gotten it yet, but it's on my list.
All right, we'll put it out there. And before we let you go, you have all those kids, those boys. I'm sure they had some favorite baseball movies. You do too. Do you want to share your favorite baseball movie of all time?
I would have to say, You Build It and They'll Come.
All right, Field of Dreams. All right,
Field of Dreams.
We've got it, Debbie. You're down, and we'll let you know if you win the Bone of Beef gift card or the Nancy Pizza. Thanks for calling in.
Okay, you're welcome. Thank you.
Have a good night.
All right. Well, see, there's so many great ones out there, some of these infomercials. 312-981-7200. We'll check out the text. I know some people have texted some in, and we'll share those with you as well. We're going to take a break, and then we come back. We'll have more with that and Dino in studio as well. We're talking about your favorite baseball movies of all time. It's Dane here, 720 WGN.
Hi, this is Joe Mantegna, and you're on the road with Dane on WGN.
You wanna go. 720 WGN here. Hi, atop Chicago in the Allstate Skyline Studio. It is Dane here with you in for Nick D. He will be back tomorrow, and I'll be here until 5 a.m. with you, along with Dino Tiberi, the prodigal nephew, the nephew of Larry from Aurora.
That's true.
Long time Nick DiGilio show, mainstay fan, super fan, and big part of the show. Wrestler, he was so many different things.
He did a lot of different things, yeah.
Did he ever have an infomercial that he liked, or did you ever walk in and there he had just something had come in the mail?
Uncle, what's this? Pocket Popeil Pocket Fisherman.
Dr. Shabak's Magic Melon.
my uncle never, I don't recall him having any of those items. He did manage a lot of restaurants, though, when I was a young man, and we used to always stop in and see him wherever he was. He was all over the place. You name a fast food restaurant, he managed it. There was no question about that.
Wow.
Yeah, so he.
You know what they say. Employee discount.
Yep, that's what it was. Absolutely right.
Speaking of that, we're talking about some of your favorite pizzas, and I guess some of those would fit into the world of fast food. Pizza's not necessarily super fast, unless it's like a Sbarro, you know, at the mall where they're just handing you some, you know, or anything from a 7-Eleven. It's usually pretty fast. Those dogs have been rolling there for a long time.
You got to call yourself Mr. Vegas because you roll the dice eating that stuff in that place.
And we had from the 630, we had Pizza Hut. Someone loved Pizza Hut. You know, I used to love Pizza Hut back in the day. You know, and I guess I wasn't able to make my own, you know, real in-depth food choices, you know, and just like, you know, Esther, my wife, she would always mention, like, they just loved Ponderosa. And so it was a big night out. You're going out for steak with a Ponderosa and a little colored stick stuck in it, and, you know, and before you've actually had maybe like a, you know, a real nice, you know, Wagyu ribeye or something.
Yeah, they had one of those at Carroll Stream we used to go to, the old Ponderosa. In fact, the last one I remember seeing was in Aurora. They closed it down and then opened it up as something else. But that, you know, the Ponderosa is like the Sizzler. That was another one that I used
Sizzler.
To, all the ribs you could eat.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. And so Pizza Hut, I think, and they're the kind that's always innovating, right? You see commercials. When's the last time you saw a Lou Malnati's commercial?
You don't really see too many of those because...
You know why? You know what it is. It's the same
thing.
Yeah,
you already know it, so there's nothing new to it.
They're not doing a cheese in the crust kind of break-off pretzel roll thing.
No.
You know, like Pizza Hut's always innovating.
Yeah, the good thing about the Pizza Hut was they used to have, for lunch, they used to have the Pizza Hut buffet. And so we would go over, a bunch of us from work, and go there and eat all the pizza you could eat, and all different kinds.
You know what that reminds
me
of?
Fantastic.
Where you got the pizza under the heat lamps. It reminds me of a place that this was, you know, when it was a big treat, you know, when you could go out for pizza on Friday night, you know that you were living. As a kid, you didn't get to make a lot of your own choices, and so this was something that was an opportunity. Wow, you had to seize it. It was Shakey's Pizza.
Yes.
You remember Shakey's?
Yeah, I sure do.
No, I don't know.
Shakey's Pizza.
Did they have some kind of, you remember Showbiz Pizza?
Yeah.
Right, where you had animatronic, you know, characters and things like that.
Yeah.
Did Shakey's have, they had an entertainment element, didn't they?
Oh, boy, now you're making me think, because I just remember, you can't forget the name. Now, I don't remember all the things that went along with it, and I remember going there.
Well, just like, you know, Slankit and the Snuggie. Remember, Tremor's Pizza just didn't catch on as much as Shakey's.
Yeah, there was a lot of places that, you know, back in the day were now not with us anymore. Like, you know, another place I used to go to was Barnaby's.
Barnaby's.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's
yeah, for the listeners out there that are not familiar with
the ones that are younger than the age of 50, they might not be able to get that one.
Here's what I imagine, and there is still one. I think it's on Devon Avenue, maybe in
North?
Where it would be. It's kind of sort of on the way towards Woodfield Mall sort of thing. I think there might be still one. And correct me if I'm wrong, Dino, but Barnaby's, you walk in and it's like you're way back in time. Like,
yeah, it's turned back the clock.
The lights are way down low and all the wood is like black.
Yep.
And the only windows are like some tiny, like pretend plastic stained glass windows.
Yeah.
You know, so you feel like you've gone back in time to you know, Middle Ages.
Hey, you order in one spot and then you got to go up and get your order in another place. You know, they give it to you. And
that just keeps you thinking.
Old school.
So there are four Barnaby's still existing, and actually they're all out by where I live. There's one in Arlington Heights.
All right.
Northbrook, Des Plaines and Niles.
Oh, I got to hit one of those. Now, I have to find the one like, Arlington Heights sounds like. That might be a winner.
That's the one I go to.
Well, what is it? It's a pizza. Is it a pizza place or is it a regular restaurant?
They sell pizza there. Yeah,
it's still mm-hmm. the same old pizza place with the dirty 70s booths. And,
yeah, have a pitcher of beer and some food and go back to work.
That was the style back then.
Yeah.
They were dirty, like pre-dirty. Yeah,
smoke cigarettes while you're eating dinner or lunch? Why not?
Dirty 70s boots. Someone's saying, like, hey, can I... No, don't you clean that, because you don't want to mess up the patina. Right? That's some real 70s dirt.
You want to keep the decor a dark brown.
312-981-7200. Your favorite pizzas that you've got out there. People have sent in. Rosati's is one of the pizzas that people like.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And we're also, we got like three things going at once. You got your favorite baseball movie, a ton of those. We're going to share those. We're going to have Blake Stubbs on with us a little bit after 2 o'clock. Going, your favorite baseball movies of all times is both the Cubs and the White Sox, and well, every other team really are in spring training. It's not like they got a head start on things. And then somehow we've stumbled into like your favorite infomercials, and one of the infomercials that was there was the egg scrambler. Are you familiar with the egg scrambler?
No, I'm not. What's that one? Well, obviously, it's an egg, you know, scrambling eggs.
What does it do?
Tough concept, but what makes the product so special that you need to go out and get it?
I don't know.
We're going to have to check that one out.
I mean, you said...
The egg scrambler. Well, get it now.
It was from the 301 area code, and I'm not sure where that is. It's probably where there's a local Barnaby's. And then it said, who could forget the egg scrambler? And apparently we forgot
it.
Yeah,
we forgot it. I never even knew it existed, so I'll have to check that one out.
And then there's a bunch of different movies. 312-981-7200. Your favorite movies. You know, we've got, of course, The Natural, 42, Sandlot, some of those that are coming in. We'll be ranking them. And Blake Stubbs will do that as well. Let's see. Have you been on an airplane in the last year? I travel a lot for work and have been noticing more and more of a product line I've never seen before. It's a device that holds two cups, a bottle, a cell phone. It attaches to the airplane's window. It's very convenient when you're in the window seat next to you. So, again, so here's the infomercial. You know, we've been...
I might need to figure this. I'm going on vacation in a couple of weeks. I might, if this is a product that I can use,
man, I got
to tell you. Might have to line it up.
And I'm not sure. We talked about it a little bit yesterday or maybe the day before. They're all kind of blurred together. But from the invention standpoint, I think you got fire, right? Then you've got maybe electric light. And then the neck pillow. Because...
Number three, neck pillow.
Whoever came up with it, and, you know, I'm not sure Nobel Peace Prize or whatever, because how can you be angry? How can you fight? How can you be upset in any way when you have, I think, a well-appointed neck pillow, and if you can, you know, add some festive colors to it or whatever, so that not only are you comfortable, but you're making other people... I didn't say
maybe
that.
Not looking good, but you make people feel good around you.
Yeah, I didn't say... you do, because, you know, let's say a festive, you know... neck pillow, and it is just the greatest thing. Esther and the kids, they all went out and got neck pillows, you know, and they they tried to match, you know, their certain style and sensibilities. So Vivian, you know her, she's seven. Hers has unicorns on it, and then the other one has like peaches or strawberries, and Maxwell went with the sort of a denim look. Of course, it's like not real denim, because that would be scratchy. That's just against the whole neck pillow.
Why would
brand.
You want to have that in a neck pillow?
Yeah. So, but it looks kind of like, so it's sort of like those pajama jeans, you know, where it looks, you know, like it's tough, but it's really actually soft.
I never knew that there was so many different styles for the neck pillow.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing is, because when you're wearing it, it's one of the few things that you actually, well, I guess probably a lot of things are like that, but the neck pillow is one of the things that as you wear it, you can't see it, right? So it's other people that see and they know that, like, whoa, that's a fun.
That guy's a stylish, look at that neck pillow.
That kid loves unicorns, right? You know? And then you have it on and, man, you can, I don't want to say sleep anywhere, you just... I was on a plane.
You start wearing them at home. I got my neck pillow out.
It was like, well, at first, and I was a skeptic. So this is why I think I'm so enthusiastic, because I think I was, you know, part in the group that was more of a scoffer at the neck pillow. You know, I would look at like, who are these people? What is it? They look so stupid. How could that help? What's the difference? You know, I put it on and it was.
That's it.
It might as well have been an air fryer commercial where all of a sudden everything was in color.
A complete 180 was done. I used to hate these things. Now I love them.
Yeah. Now I'm like, I started like a neck pillow fan club. I'm doing the whole thing. All right. Well, when it comes to fans of movies and baseball movies, everybody's out there. We've got so many texts. We're going to share all of those. 312-981-7200. Three things you can do, your favorite pizza. You can also do your favorite infomercial, right?
That's right.
And then also your favorite baseball movies. Blake Stubbs is going to join us after the news. Quick break, then we'll come back. Then we'll send it to news. It's staying here on 720 WGN. Wow. 720.
Holy cow. What's that all about?
WGN high atop Chicago in the Allstate Skyline Studio. A little retro look back into the music of baseball.
That's right.
That's what brought people in. It wasn't even about the game at first, Dino. It was all about the party around the game.
If you got a great hook like a good band, why not? Songs like that were hooks that get the fan to the ballpark.
So on the product side, the infomercial side, I haven't seen an infomercial for it, but there's that thing they had mentioned. Of course, I was talking a little bit about the neck pillow, but they've got something you bring on a plane. It's called the Bevledge, and it holds two cups, a bottle, and your phone, and it allows you to have a little, I don't know, like kind of a workstation bookshelf right there.
You don't have to move. It's all set up right in the window there is what you were saying before, right?
Yep, in your plane seat. And then Shakey's Pizza, someone from the 804 area code had put in that they would show black and white movies at Shakey's Pizza.
Yeah, along with playing Dixieland jazz piano to entertain the patrons, of course.
Yeah, and then a lot of Barnaby's fans. So we thought Barnaby's was a thing of the past in the dirty 70s.
Still going.
Booth.
According to Ben, there's one... four locations in the area.
Apparently, the booths were clean back in the 70s, and so this wasn't a style choice. It's just Barnaby's 933 Rand Road in Arlington Heights is one of them. You could throw peanut shells on the floor, and that's from the 773. Yep. In the Niles location, apparently they put in real windows. Not that the
they got rid of the fake stained glass.
Yeah, it's brightened up the place, which I think
which might not be a good idea.
Yeah.
Kind of takes away from the old nostalgia of the place.
Caldwell and Oakton, and I think that may be where I was thinking. I was thinking it was more on Devon. So a lot of places.
All right. I'm going to a Barnaby's. The next time I'm on with you, Dan, I'm going to do a quick review.
We're live from Barnaby's.
Yeah, that's right. I'm going to do a little, maybe a little Facebook live shot from Barnaby's. I'm here waiting for my food.
Well, you know, when you're there at the Barnaby's, of course, what makes it better than watching the baseball game up on there? Or maybe watching a baseball movie at a Barnaby's. Maybe a movie night in Barnaby's. It's already dark. Like a theater, except for that one location.
That's more times we've mentioned Barnaby's than I've heard in about 10 years.
On the line with us now, we've got Blockbuster Blake Stubbs, not brought to you by Barnaby's, but also supported by Bona Beef, because it is the official beef of both the White Sox and the Cubs. And Blake, welcome to the show. It is time to talk a little bit of baseball movies. Blake, welcome.
Thanks for having me. Baseball, hey, it's that time of year, isn't it? I mean, everybody's getting excited. I know Dino's getting excited. He's absolutely chomping right now, waiting for it.
He wouldn't stop talking. He's like, what about this one? I'm like, Dino, hold on.
When he said it was baseball movies and then we were going to be talking with you, I'm like, oh, man, this is going to be fantastic. I can't wait. We were in the garage. I was throwing names out. He's like, stop talking about it.
Yeah, we don't want to reference our conversation in the garage. It's like, let's leave, because the listeners have a lot of it too. They have been sharing so many of their favorites, and so I wanted to know, number one, Blake, from a cinematic perspective, if you have any favorites, or if you're like the rest of us and just like ones that are like either generally good or maybe that were popular. How does it work for you?
Well, for me, as a kid, baseball movies were kind of there were several for me, at least growing up. One of them, obviously, Rookie of the Year. That, I think, was the one that every kid my age fell in love with, because every kid wanted to play for their favorite team. And for a lot of us, it was the Cubs, or, you know, for a lot of us, it was the White Sox. And the whole, like, the miracle that led to Henry Rowan Gardner playing for the Cubs is just like, it's so out there, and yet it works, at least for kids. And the other is Sandlot. I mean, the love of the game, you know, formulates amongst friends. And I think that movie captured a lot of those great moments for me. And, of course, they had to add a little conflict with James Earl Jones' dog and, you know, the legend surrounding the beast and all that. And, again, kids being kids, but a lot of some of my best memories growing up were playing the game. and also, you know, having movies that, you know, really clicked, I think, with my age group growing up. And this was early 90s. I mean, early 90s. So, but, you know, I mean, as I grew older, there's several. I mean, for me, most recently, Moneyball is one of my favorite movies about baseball. I think it's a very well-made movie. I think it romanticizes the game that is so easy to romanticize and fall in love with. It's brilliantly written, brilliantly acted, wonderfully directed. I couldn't say enough good things about Moneyball. I mean, I could go all over the place, though, because there's several that I'm like, you know, I always have an attachment to movies like this, much like a lot of people have attachments to the game itself. So I think that there's a thing where you can show baseball on screen, and audiences can easily connect with it because they love the game right off. And even if the movie isn't great, and some baseball movies just haven't been very good, the experience of watching it, though, and seeing the game you love just kind of romanticized would be the word I would use. It kind of goes a long way, and it sticks with you as an audience member.
Well, as our national pastime, it is the kind of thing that everybody has some kind of relationship or experience with baseball, and you can have movies that really touch on any eras. You've got some of those early ones we were talking about. It was the Lou Gehrig. What is it called with Gary Cooper?
Pride of the Yankees.
Okay, so you can
Pride of the Yankees. Yeah,
you can go really far back. Wasn't there one too that was, you know, about Ty Cobb that had
Cobb?
It was called Cobb.
Yeah,
Tommy Lee Jones. Conveniently titled Cobb.
Tommy Lee Jones was a bad man in that movie.
And you mentioned all the way up till Moneyball. So you got almost kind of modern day in the sensibilities and the new styles and the way mm-hmm. people are playing it. And a lot of those movies have, and maybe it is because, you know, we've all gotten out there and we've all played, you know, at some level as kids or to whatever extent that we did, where we all have that, you know, a first-hand experience. You know, none of us here, and I'm including Ben in this too, in the booth, we've never been Guardians of the Galaxy, right? No. We don't have any first-hand superhero experience, but we've all done some of those things, and even when the movie is about experiences that are so pedestrian, just like kids, you know, playing,
right?
I think there's kind of a touchstone there that makes it kind of that we all relate to it. You bring up Rookie of the Year. He still comes in when he does Comic-Con or whatever. He'll come in and do interviews, mm-hmm. and people still want to talk to him about that movie, even though he's done a ton of things since then.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Thomas Ian Nicholas. I mean, he's a very talented musician, as I understand it. He produces films and television, I believe. And I may be a little out of turn on the television part, but I know he's produced, and I believe he's also directed some since then. I mean, he's had a very, very successful career that isn't just, you know, being a child star. So that's, and of course, he was in the American Pie films. So, you know, there's another thing where, like, he grew up, you know, in the public eye, and then he's also branched out and done his own thing. And when it comes to, you know, baseball movies and the whole kids thing, I think the reason why, and you kind of hit on it, Dane, is, you know, baseball is a game that it doesn't matter what level you've played, you've probably played. And I think I'm going to jump back to Sandlot real quick, because that's sort of the whole point of the movie for one of the lead characters, is that he's never played baseball. He has no idea how to catch. He doesn't know how to throw. He doesn't know how to hit. He knows nothing. And he is taught by newfound friends. And they could have easily bullied him off the sandlot. They could have, you know, ignored him. They could have made fun of him. And at first they kind of did. But it only took one person to say, nah, you know what? He can learn the game. And he does. And it leads to a really great story. I mean, it's just one of those things where you can easily go beyond swinging the bat, throwing the ball, catching, whatever it is. It's also about being on a team. It's also about learning, you know, important values. And I think that, you know, several of these movies we've mentioned sort of, they get to showcase parts of that. And I think that's another reason why some of these movies are so successful. And especially for, you know, all generations. I don't think it has anything to do with really like, oh, well, only kids are going to like Rookie of the Year. No, I mean, I know fathers and sons that watch it together, fathers and daughters. You know, I know moms that like that movie. Just because it's got a lot of really good, fun, entertaining stuff for kids that's very kid-oriented. And not like little bitty kids, but, you know, growing up kids. So that's great.
Like, I think even, like, you know, second cousins and grandparents could watch that movie.
Absolutely.
All in the same room.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, to me, the Sandlot reminded me a lot of my childhood because we, you know, that was pre-video games. I'm a little bit older, and, you know,
sure.
We did that. We played baseball every day, and then we went to the pool. You know, we did all the things they were doing in that movie, so that resonated with me right from the beginning. It was like, yeah, you know, minus the James Earl Jones and the dog part. But there were yards you couldn't hit the ball in because there was a dog there. Because
there was a landmine.
You couldn't hit it in there. But either that or the people didn't want you in their yard and they wouldn't let you come and get the ball because they were discouraging you from coming in there. So, I mean, a lot of things hit home with me when I watched that movie for the first time. And then I believe, and maybe you can clarify this for me, Blake, didn't they make a Sandlot 2?
There was a Sandlot 2. I believe it was like a direct to video type thing. I will not claim to have seen it because I know I haven't seen it. I just know it exists.
I was flipping through.
It was made many years later. Many years later. It was made in 2005. I just looked it up. So I was like, when did that come out?
I was flipping through the channels and I saw it. I'm like, I can't watch this.
Record, too, it wasn't an adult film, right? It was just a regular, cheaply made up.
It was the same concept as the older one, just a little bit later on, I guess. But I have no idea.
No, Blake, we've got to get to a break really quick. But when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about some of those movies where baseball is sort of the backdrop of it, and in a big way, but it highlights kind of that romanticized lifestyle of baseball, whether it's Bad News Bears with Walter Matthau, whether it's, you know, League of Our Own, you've got Tom Hanks, you know, he's got his own demons, right, and there's no crying in baseball, you know, or whether you got Bull Durham, where it's a lot of that kind of the relationship side of things, you know, on the road in the baseball world. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Blockbuster Blake Stubbs talking about your favorite baseball movies of all time. Keep it here. It's Dane 720 WGN. WGN high atop Chicago in the Allstate Skyline Studio. It is Dane here with you until 5 a.m. in for Nick D, Dino Tiberi to my right. Ben is in the booth, and we're talking some of your favorite baseball movies of all time. Somehow we're also talking about favorite infomercials. Dominic called in with the clapper. How could we forget that? 312-981-7200. You can add yours and be put into the hopper for a Bona Beef gift card. And also we've got something from Nancy's Pizza as well. Supporting Blockbuster Blake Stubbs, who is with us. But before we get to back to Blake for just a second, quickly, we've got Roosevelt. Roosevelt, welcome to the show.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing this morning?
Good. How are you?
So, Roosevelt, what is your favorite baseball movie?
Major League is one of my favorites because it's funny. I like funny movies, and I also like dark movies. All the ones you guys mentioned, I also enjoy, especially Moneyball. And I believe Major League is one of the few ones that had a follow-up, in other words, a part two. I don't remember the name of it, but I know it had part two.
I think it was Major League 2.
I believe it was, along with the kind of the Cobb philosophy of just say what it is, Major League 2.
And then they had a third one that came out later.
Was that Major League 3?
Yeah. Back to the Minors, I think it was called.
Okay.
Yeah, and on the dark side, guys, Fear Strikes Out.
Oh, yeah.
The Fan with Robert De Niro and Wesley Snipes, which Wesley Snipes, yeah, I believe, is in Major League. And there was a third one. Game 6.
I don't remember that one.
Yeah, Game 6 with, I can't think of the guy that won for the Oscar. I can't think of him.
We'll look it up. We've got Ben will be looking it up, and so we'll kind of check it. And if you stay tuned, Roosevelt, you'll hear as we kind of learn as well.
And as far as, you know, infomercials, do you remember K-Tel Records, you know, all those records? They used to put, you know, like the best records, K-Tel.
Oh, they still run those. I think they still run that stuff now.
Yeah. And it made me think of the Monkees and all those bubblegum songs from the early 70s, because, you know, I was in high school in the early 70s, and it made me think when you mentioned when you mentioned infomercials, I can't get it out of my mind, you know. Okay, tell, get the latest, get the best.
Yeah, rest in peace, Peter Tork. He just passed away a few days ago.
Yeah, they have all those collections, too, of all, like, your favorite love songs. It'd all be there. They find some way to be able to send you, and you'll be sent another one every, you know, 6 weeks. Forever.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Roosevelt. I appreciate you.
All right, by the way, it's Michael Keaton that's in Game 6. I just thought of it. Michael Keaton. It's a strange movie, but it's a great movie. All right. Thank you, guys. All right. Enjoy yourself.
Thanks, Roosevelt. We appreciate it. And Blake Stubbs is with us talking about, and so here it is, Blake. You know, you're hearing some of these, the kind of full range, everything from, you know, kids in a ballpark to people fighting their own demons to crazed and dangerous fans, right? You've got, before we went to break, we were talking about sort of that lifestyle with baseball. And I know in football you did have a little bit of that with, like, maybe, you know, Any Given Sunday or The Longest Yard for sure, right? Right, or in North Dallas 40, you know, you had where it was kind of that crazy lifestyle, whether it was substance abuse or personal demons. But baseball has that, and you've got some of those movies where it's Walter Matthau or Tom Hanks or Bull Durham, all those things built in.
Yeah, I was going to say, A League of Their Own is a movie, when anybody ever mentions baseball movies, I go right to it. And the reason being is because I think it is one of the finest performed throughout all the actors in the movie. I think it's a great ensemble film. I think it's also one of my favorite Tom Hanks performances. He's kind of got that perfect comedic role, and this was sort of in that transition where Tom Hanks was transitioning away from being a comedian into a serious actor who would then go on to win Oscars. And the role here is sort of is his transition. I mean, he's very funny in this movie, but there's a lot of tragedy in his character's backstory. And he was a ball player. He was an excellent ball player who kind of threw away his shot, and then, you know, taking over the managerial duties of a women's team at the time World War II was going on, when there was a stigma to that, and then he ends up falling in love with it. And there's just sort of a redemption arc for him there, and him as a manager, but also, you know, the impact that those women have on him, and the role played by Gina Davis in particular, of Dottie Henson. It's just something about that movie clicks, and I think I know what it is. It's a Penny Marshall film. You know, the recently passed away Penny Marshall, this was a fine work by her. It's a great story, I think, that just sort of highlights a moment that I don't want to say is lost in history, especially sports history, because, you know, sports fans know about this. But this is one of those things where if you were to walk into a high school today and talk to a bunch of kids who love baseball, and you said, did you know that during World War II, women actually played ball instead of the men because all the men were out fighting? They would probably be a bit shocked. They might not know that. It is plausible to think that they might not know that. And this movie, I think, depicts what that league was like, you know, constantly on the road, trying to be, you know, a professional ball player, while also some of these women are mothers, some of them are wives, you know, their husbands are overseas fighting. There's just a lot of drama mixed in with it, and baseball is a game that can be full of drama. It can also be tense. It can be elating. It's just, I think the movie captures very well certain aspects of the game, and like you said, it's kind of the backdrop, but at the same time, you have all these real people that you're dealing with while they're also professional ball players. So I think it's a great film to recommend, for sure.
It gives a little insight into just how different things are, as much as baseball is the same, right? The game is, you know, many of the peers, obviously it adjusts a little bit, but it's so many things the same. But you could never imagine a time when that would happen, where you'd see, like, Anthony Rizzo is going to go off and fight in a war, where you did have, like, Ted Williams was, like, flying.
He flew missions in three different tours of duty, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, it's a different thing. And then how different things are, and you mentioned kids, and we've talked about that a lot, is how different, you know, even the kids are in the movies compared to what they are today. You think about Bad News Bears and Walter Matthau. I'm not sure if there was a parallel there where maybe he gave up a lucrative career in baseball to coach those guys. I don't think that
got away from his pool cleaning business.
But it's one of those movies where you think you remember fondly, and it was a movie that was, you know, with kids, and I remember seeing it as a kid, and then you try to show your kids, and you're like, oh, wait a minute.
There's
adult themes here, you know?
Why does it say Chico's bail bonds on the uniforms, Daddy?
Well, and see, that's the thing. You know, Bad News Bears is a hilarious film, but it also has its little bits of drama. You know, there's a little bit of grittiness to that film that I don't know is necessarily present in a movie like A League of Their Own, or, you know, certainly not something like Rookie of the Year. But it's still a good movie. I mean, it's a good movie to watch if you're a baseball fan. And you know, this brings me to another sort of film where, you know, talking about the lifestyle and what the game and being a professional athlete can do to you. This is a movie that I don't think a lot of people would say was a great movie. But it is a movie that I think if you watch baseball films and you love movies about baseball, you should watch something like Mr. Baseball. And I got a couple reasons why.
Oh, yeah.
One, Tom Selleck's pretty good in this movie. He's very charismatic. This is a good Tom Selleck role, if you're a fan of Tom Selleck, the actor. The thing is he's playing an aging ball player who has sort of lost his fire. He's more about the jokes and the ego, and, you know, the game isn't for him what it used to be, and he gets transplanted over to Japan, where they play the game very differently. And a young Blake Stubbs has always had it on his list of things to do, and that is to attend a baseball game in Japan before he dies.
Wow.
Because the way those fans react to the game, it's completely different than the way we do it here in the United States. And I think that that movie showcases it very well. For all its flaws, you know, as a movie with a script and everything, it has a decent cast. It is a cool movie to take you to a place you didn't know, you know, embraced something that we here in the States, it's our pastime, but it's something that Japan, you know, adopted and got really into. And I think that the customs that they, you know, exhibit at the games just makes it sort of a new electric experience, just a totally different way of doing it. And I always found that to be a draw for me when somebody's like, hey, you know, what are your favorite baseball movies? Because I've had this discussion before. And I always, for some reason, one of the last movies I'll always mention is something like Mr. Baseball. I like the arc of an aging ball player sort of finding his game again. And also, I love the way that they shot all those scenes at those Japanese ball games. I thought those were fantastic.
Yes, go ahead, Dino.
Yeah, I was going to say, just the way that they adapted his, you know, an aging player, then he's going to adapt to all of these different cultural things in Japan, mm-hmm. and how they play the game and how they train, and then the manager having to bend a little bit, you know, at the end of the movie to, you know, try to accommodate, you know, him, Tom Selleck, almost breaking his record at the end. It was pretty good. I love that movie. I really enjoyed that. I've watched it a few different times, and I think it was a great performance by Tom Selleck in that movie.
It's a great one, Blake, to bring up, and Dino mentions it, too, because it's such a totally different perspective on that same game. Certainly, the game is the same. It's the centerpiece of the conversation, but everything around it is totally different than some of those other ones. And before we go we're going to go to break, and we're going to come back and send it to news, but I've got to recognize, as far as the theme of the show, is Tom Selleck is one of those two-sport athletes when it comes to our topics. He's a guy that obviously is in this movie, in a baseball movie. Also, in the infomercial, he does a great job on the reverse mortgage side.
And he's a cop. He does it all.
All right. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to send it right to news. And then we get back with Blake. We're going to talk about baseball movies in the comedy sense as well. We've got our own Bill Leff was a big part of Major League in those movies here. And we've got Steven has mentioned Mr. 3000 with one of the kings of comedy, you know, Bernie Mac. So stay tuned for that. Quick break, 720 WGN. WGN, it is Dane here with you, high atop Chicago Allstate Skyline Studio, in for Nick D until 5 a.m. Today, and he should be back with you coming up tonight. Feels like tonight. It'll actually be a little bit after tomorrow. Dino Tiberi to my left, riding shotgun today. We've got Ben in the booth as well, and we're talking your favorite baseball movies of all time. 312-981-7200. People can go ahead and share some of those. We do have Blake Stubbs. I think I just disconnected him. He's going to be calling back in 1 second, but we do have Steven online. Steven, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hey, Steven, what's your favorite movie, your favorite baseball movie of all time?
I would say, I would say Mr. 3000, just because I live in Milwaukee, and a lot of that was filmed at, you know, County Stadium, so.
Hey, the Brewers, you know, some of their success isn't just in the movies anymore. They had a great team, and I think Dino has projected them to have a good team this year as well.
Yeah, of course. They won the division last year. Why wouldn't he? They're going to be battling again for the division title coming up this year again. So, looking forward to some good baseball this summer at Miller Park and at Wrigley Field, so.
Yes.
Mr. 3000, I saw that movie with Bernie Mac, and I enjoyed it. It's offbeat. It's funny. A lot of good lines in there. The authentic part of it being in the stadium and playing for the Brewers and the manager.
Steven, it sounds as though it's very windy in Milwaukee.
Are you on the road?
I'm driving right now. I do security, mobile patrol for a company here in Milwaukee. So,
all right. Well, thanks for joining in. We appreciate you kind of adding your two cents in there, Mr. 3000. Yeah. We're going to talk about it. Thanks, Stephen.
Yes.
All right, so we've got very windy, less windy in Peoria as we travel down to where a Blockbuster Blake Stubbs is. And Blake, welcome back.
Well, thanks for having, of course.
Thanks for disconnecting me, Dane.
Sorry. Well, I didn't. Before he was locked in, then he became unlocked, and then now he's calling back, and so it's great. So here's the thing that brings up the comedy side of of the baseball movie, and Bernie Mac was one of those great comedians, and then you think about Major League, which was a movie about a team that I think you can build in some comedy, sort of a crying on the inside clown kind of thing when it comes to the Indians and some of the success that they've had or not, and to build into that team all those great and funny personalities, include our very own Bill Leff, who was one of the in the outfield. They had those kind
it's
of
too high
super fans
too high.
Right, exactly. But Major League was one of those, one of the rare ones, right, as far as baseball movies that was able to kind of create like a multi-part franchise.
It was, and the movie was written and directed by David S. Ward, whose works might surprise people to know that he had a pretty solid writing, career as a screenwriter. He wrote The Sting, Cannery Row. He was also on hand to write Sleepless in Seattle. And then he was also the director and writer of another sports-related film that I enjoy about college football, The Program, that starred Jimmy Kahn and a bunch of young actors who were, the whole premise of that movie is like the strenuous nature of football and the impact that it can have and trying to balance life and all these things. Much more serious film than Major League. Now, Major League, however, is a screwball comedy without being too screwball.
What?
I mean, it stays very grounded in its reality, other
it's
than
screwball.
The characters make it a screwball comedy, but the baseball of it, as the team, realizes that they're supposed to lose games so that they can be moved, and they decide to turn everything around and start winning games, and it's like, wow, when pro athletes really put their mind to it, yes, they can do anything. Most of those guys are not even, supposed to be pro athletes. That's like the comedy of it all. I mean, James Gammon, who plays Lou Brown, the manager of the Cleveland Indians in this film, gives one of the funniest performances, and he was selling tires, and when they call to ask if he wants to manage the Cleveland Indians, you can hear the air guns going off in the background, and he goes, oh, I don't know. Just everything he says and does in this movie, you want to laugh at, because he's that good. And then, of course, you have Charlie Sheen I wouldn't call it a breakout role. Everybody knew who Charlie Sheen was in the early 90s, but Tom Berenger gives a performance.
Yep.
I got to say, I come back. Every time I watch Major League, I'm always glued to Tom Berenger in this movie, who is an outstanding actor, by the way. He really is a good actor. Oh, I don't know that he's always been offered the best stuff. I know that he has had a very good career and worked with incredible directors. But the character of Jake Taylor is so interesting, because I mentioned earlier Mr. Baseball, the aging athlete and the struggles they have to overcome. Tom Berenger's character, Jake Taylor, has awful knees. He's a catcher, and he's not expected to do well at all at his position. And it's kind of like he has this one final go, as a pro athlete. And you just sort of fall in love with his character arc, that whole, we talked about this love of the game stuff, how baseball becomes a part of you, and how, because everybody plays, they know what it can feel like to, either hit a home run or strike somebody out or, hit that throw from home to second, like whatever it is. His character sort of embodies that. He's had his glory days, he's done, and the way he plays it, I think, is just, I think it's very human. And I think it's funny, too. I mean, he's really funny in the movie. But there are some dramatic moments and some really stand-up moments that make you kind of think, wow, what a cool character Jake Taylor is. Major League's got layers, man. And I always want to tell people to watch it, because it's very good.
Yeah, because, it seems kind of like it is goofy, and it's one of those improbable, Cinderella story, underdog kind of team things.
Yep.
But that collection of personalities on the field, and the way that the script is written and the way that they interact is just crazy. And then you build in a guy, and I think it's the only, you know, Vin Scully, of course, you know, he probably did some off-Broadway theater. Who knows, right? But yeah. But you got Bob Uecker in there, a guy that was such a big part of those classic, you know, Miller Lite commercials. You know, wasn't he Mr. Belvedere? He was in,
he was in that.
And so this is a guy that could have had a legitimate kind of, you know, acting career, but still kind of, I mean, not even kind of, he's the voice of the Brewers.
Yeah.
And so Bob Uecker is one of those awesome guys in this.
One of Johnny Carson's favorites.
His character, you know, Harry Doyle, and it hits all the right notes. I mean, it's like if you took our you know, the public's favorite, whatever, you know, sports personality that isn't necessarily an athlete, but the voice thereof, and you got all of his key catchphrases. It's more of a hammy character. You know, he swears on the air. He drinks on the air. He does all these things. And this is all stuff Bob Uecker, you know, in this day and age, if Bob Uecker were broadcast, none of this would happen. However, it's a movie, and it's supposed to be hammy and fun, and again, screwball. So he just sells every moment he's on camera. And sometimes he's not even on camera, it's just his voice, because that, you know, they utilized his personality so well, I think, for that movie, that it kind of, it's a sticking point, and it's one of those things that makes the movie sort of, I think, resonate even now. Like, if you watched it now, and the movie is how old? It came out in 1989, actually. Yep. So, I mean, you know, the movie's 30 years old. So 30 years on, this movie is still funny. It is still, I think, kind of on point with you know, some of the cool action you can see in baseball, some of the really awesome stories that can develop on the field, and also some of the hilarity. Because we all know that, you know, I mean, you know, when you're on the team, I'm sure, you know, the pranks that you pull on each other, they try to keep that, you know, in-house. You know, because it's part of the team. It's the team thing. But the movie sort of displays, like, the kookiness of what can go on when you're on a pro sports team. And, of course, this is a group of ragtags that come together to become a real contender. And that's also a hook, I think, for audiences out there.
And when it comes to great cast, we're going to end things, at least before we go to break, and let you go, Blake, on a dark note, right? But still a White Sox-related note, so you've got a little bit of home cooking. But one of those casts that's great, maybe not on the funny side, was Eight Men Out. 630 had suggested that in a text. And it's a movie about a dark period in the world of baseball, you know, where there was actually betting on, you know, back when you could do that, I guess, and sort of get away with it. But you look at that cast, and it's one of those movies, and we love those, where you can look at it, and it was kind of, a lot of those people were not the actors of note that they are today. You would never get that group together. You're like, oh, there's so-and-so, and oh, and there's that guy. There's a lot of great people in it.
Absolutely. Michael Rooker, who I believe went to the Goodman School of Drama in Chicago. D.B. Sweeney, David Strathairn, Charlie Sheen, Christopher Lloyd, John Cusack, Michael Lerner. And then, of course, my favorite in this entire cast, the late, great John Mahoney. This was a movie that was absolutely packed with talent. And the movie is quite good. I mean, it's one of those movies that when you watch it and you see the dramatization of what happened, you know, it was 100 years ago when the Black Sox scandal erupted. But I think that each one of those actors really got to inhabit a cool character. You know, really, you know, something to sink their teeth into. There's plenty of research to be done. They're real people. They have real stories. But also, you know, the scandal that rocked baseball. It's such an interesting movie that I'm glad we brought it up. I would feel awful if we left it out, actually, because I think it does cover the other end. We kind of, you know, drifted toward the whole thing of, you know, loving movies when, you know, you're a kid about baseball, the comedies and everything, the dramas. And I mean, of course, Field of Dreams is another one. I don't know of any other movie that any grown man I've ever met would be willing to admit they cried watching more than Field of Dreams. And that's totally fine if you cry while you watch movies. It's good to feel. However, that's a big one. And Eight Men Out is in the, you know, you get into the drama of it all and the feels. I think you got some good movie choices there, Dane, for
well,
sure.
Ben had mentioned, of course, The Natural was his favorite, so I didn't want to miss and not mention that. When it comes to crying in movies, we all cried in Coco. We mentioned that too, that you know,
we all cried in Coco. Everybody did.
All the plumbers and even the serial killers in the audience were sobbing at Coco. So, you know, so it's either, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah. You can say you didn't cry at Coco, and I would say you're a liar. So there you go.
There's no crying in baseball, but there is
crying in Coco.
In Coco, that's right. Yep. All right, so Blake, before we let you go, give social media so people can continue that conversation. We are going to, because you were brought to us by Bona Beef, we're going to be giving all those people that have texted in. There's been so many. We're going to throw them all in a hopper, and before the end of the show, we're going to pick a winner that's going to get a $25 gift card to Bona Beef. And so, Blake, how can people follow you, keep up with you, and continue the conversation about baseball and everything else?
Easiest way to follow me and chat with me about movies, baseball, whatever you want, hockey, anything, follow me on Twitter at Blake Stubbs. That's the easiest way. BLAKESTUBBS.
Get some sleep.
Thank you.
Get some sleep, Blake. Thanks so much for jumping on, and we'll talk to you soon.
See you, Blake.
Will do. You guys have a great night.
All right. We are going to take a quick break, and we come back. We're going to continue the conversation. We're going to read as many of the texts as we can. 312-981-7200. You can add your thoughts, your suggestions in there as well. We are going to get to the greatest infomercials of all times and those amazing products that have been launched that have been, I guess, in our junk drawers or in our garages.
Or at your Bed Bath & Beyond. You can get them there.
That's right. As seen on TV. All right. You can hear it here as well. So quick break. We'll come back. It's Dane here on 720 WGN.
Where you go? Too high? What does that mean, too high?
Too high.
So Vaughn is off to a rocky start as Haywood clears the bases with one swing.
Not too high. Too hard. Right?
First, it was really high.
All right, 720.
Bill Left. WGN. One of the best ones ever.
Our very own Bill Left, who is a star of Major League One, I think, in two. I'm not sure if he was in three. Maybe he was in three, but he was.
I don't think so, but I don't remember.
Because that was the straight to video one that also, for the record, was not an adult film that we know of.
That's
right?
Correct.
And, of course, he'll be on tomorrow. Bill and Wendy will be on with us, I think, from like 10 till noon, and then you do the bonus hour. And if I can get a ride back and if I'm awake enough, I will be on at 11 to discuss some of your latest food trends or maybe some gadgets, maybe some infomercials. This is an idea. We're doing a think tank. It'll be at IHA. So here we go. And we've had a lot of people share some of the best-selling infomercial products of all time. And so these are ones that have, you know, not only made an impact, but obviously, you know, people have participated, whether it's the, you know, Ron Propeel and the, you know, the Pocket Fisherman and all those great products. Dino, we've got to get together and come up and make one of these because there's some money in it, apparently. It's a big deal.
Yep.
So P90X is the annual, this is the annual revenue.
It's insane.
$400 million. So that's it. You know, and you look what they did. So P90X, for the people out there that may not be aware of it, it's an exercise thing, but it's kind of like it's more of like an intense thing, right? It's not insanity. I'm sure it makes a certain amount of money too, but it's where, you know, it's kind of a fitness regimen. They used to do it on DVDs that they would get you, and now it's probably something that they'll do, you know, online, or you can download direct to your phone. But it's a way that, you know, kind of an exercise thing. You don't necessarily have to go to the gym. You can jump around in front of your television and
get the same kind of results.
Yeah, I like the other side of it, though. The $400 million stand-up comedian turned personal trainer Tony Horton is laughing his frighteningly toned 54-year-old buddy all the way to the bank. 2005, he's ageless, and he's gotten some other people involved. Kurt Warner's in. Romney running mate Paul Ryan. These are people that have done it. He's even got a kids version, so there you go, P90X.
Tony and the folks for senior bodybuilders.
Where's that
and one? Tony and the kids for pint-sized muscle men.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, because, you know, it's never too...
You can never start. Yeah, it's never too early to get started on that.
And it's never too late to go back to school.
That's correct.
Yeah. So if you want to get in on that. So then you've got Total Gym. Now, the Total Gym is a little bit better. So let's say P90X is... You know, it seems intense. It's a little,
yeah, it might be a little bit too much for people, especially if they're just starting.
You get the Total Gym, and it's just you, Chuck Norris, Christy Brinkley, and all you're doing is kind of like, it's kind of a padded bench that lays down, and you sort of just move your arms and legs around a little bit, and boom, you've got yourself the body you've always dreamed of.
Yeah, and how about that? You know, it looks, apparently, it says here, the Chuck Norris's biggest movie earned less than $23 million at the box office. But Total Gym's total sales, $1 billion.
Yeah, like Chuck Norris needs it, you know, because he could just beat anyone up.
Come on, he could get you in shape in 5 seconds.
Yeah, that's true.
Because he's Chuck Norris.
Because he is Chuck Norris. He's the toughest guy in the world. Now, think about this, and this is on the list, and so we'll get to it, but we've got Dave on the line from the 779 area code. I'm not sure where that is. Dave, welcome to the show.
You're welcome. I'm in Rockford.
Oh, nice. Okay.
The 779 is in Rockford.
Yeah, there we go. So,
all right.
So, Dave, infomercial-wise, if you're up late enough to hear this show and enjoy Nick and what he does, you've probably seen your share of infomercials. Which one did you want to share?
Suzanne Summers, Thigh Master.
Thigh Master. That's what you, so now, Suzanne Summers, you know her as the curvy, bubbly star of Three's Company, right? She was in that.
Right.
And then I think she sang a little bit and did a Vegas kind of show or something, right, too? She did a little.
There may be some truth to that. I don't think I ever saw that, but. I'll take your word for it.
But she did the Thigh Master. Here's what it is. So it isn't just an entire body workout like Chuck Norris would have, or maybe the P90X. You focus on those problem areas. And for her, I mean, she said that, you know, the thighs, right?
Right. And she turned around and did other things with her arms and that. That came with the exercise video. For the Thigh Master.
The Thigh Master. You know, see, here's the thing on the Thigh Master. So, Dave, you're not alone in noticing it. Total sales of $100 million.
Come on, for
the Thigh Master. Yep, there you go.
Plus, you have her in the video, so you got that going for you, right, which is nice.
And Dave, before we let you go, we're sharing some of your favorite pizzas out there. Is there a pizza in Rockford that's kind of the mainstay that everybody in Rockford knows, loves, and goes and gets all the time?
Well, I would say it's a company called Sam's. They have like three restaurants, and then they closed one because of customer compliance, but they still have two restaurants in Rockford area.
Sam's Pizza. Well, go out and get Sammy's Pizza.
All right. Thanks, David. Big shout out for Sam's. Appreciate you checking in tonight.
You're welcome. Have fun.
All right. Well, we're trying. So, okay. So the Thigh Master thing, that's pretty good. $100 million.
Wow.
And
it's in a lot of, it's probably in a lot of garages and storage areas right now.
Yeah. You know what it is. Okay. So then the other thing, and you mentioned this, what was that movie? Something About Mary, right?
Yeah.
Where Brett Favre was in it.
Yeah.
You know, and then wasn't there a scene with like Ben Stiller and the 6 minute abs or 8 minute abs guy? You know, or there was a thing where he was camping. Or something, right? And then the guy had a new idea for something else, because I think 8 minute abs was a thing that was out there. You mentioned a videotape or something like that.
Yeah.
And then the guy who was, I guess, a serial killer, now that we've brought them up a couple times, decided that he wanted to create 6 minute abs or 7 minute abs or something like that. And so I think that's it. If you can tie in to something, a problem area, whether it's 7 minute thighs, maybe. This is maybe we're think tanking here. So you have a problem area or some kind of situation, like you desire to fish with the pocket fisherman.
Right.
Just don't have the kind of time, or maybe
or
a tackle box. You know,
or as the one guy said, he had an hour and a half to reel the fish in.
Well, hey, you know.
Yeah, shorten the time up on that thing.
It's a give take world. So if you can take one thing, one issue, and then you can do it. And then if you can build it into a time limit where, hey, let's see, because that's the thing we all don't have, right?
Right.
Time.
Of course.
You know, you'd love to get out there and run marathons. I know I would, but I just don't have time. And so if I can build, you know, the fitness that I, you know, we all know that we all want, you know, and you could build it into just a few minutes a day.
Right.
Then I think that's it. Now, here's the thing, is with that, with the video or with any of this equipment, there's some effort going involved. Ben had brought up one of his favorites, which doesn't, see, here we're taking more of the trouble out of it. You know you want to be fit, you don't have any time, and you don't really want, you want to do anything.
Right. You just want to sit there and have it to work for you.
So, Ben, you brought up, what was it, like the ab zapper?
Yeah, the ab zapper.
Yeah, nice.
That is the best one.
Hey, Joey, I got a tough workout. I got the ab zapper ready. Let's do it.
Like, hey, let's. Hey, can you? I need a ride to get to something. Like, hold on, I'm working out.
I'm having a beef sandwich and I'm working out at the same time.
My abs are getting zapped. So, Ben, how did it work? And I guess the most important question. Was it safe? Were there some waiver forms to sign, you know, with the ab zapper?
I don't think there's any waiver forms because, you know, however they regulated the voltage. But,
well, I think it's a sliding scale of...
Please don't do this in water.
All yeah. right. Excellent point, Dino. But isn't it a sliding scale of, like, you know, it's... you know, works, you know, you could die till like, okay, you're safe, but it doesn't actually work.
Yeah. Pretty
Look at these results. Oh, wait, it didn't work.
But Ben, so what? So there's electrodes or something that you attach to your stomach?
In the simplest sense, it
was there at least a fold out instruction booklet?
Like I have no idea. I never bought it. I just know how it works.
For the record, though, Ben is in tremendous shape, and so
he doesn't need that thing.
Either he's an AbZapper success story, or he just saw it on television.
You saw it, right?
Yeah, I just saw it on TV. My favorite is still when Robin Williams made fun of it.
Ooh.
Do you remember this?
Well,
he did in one of his stand-ups where he talked about, you know, instead of putting it on your stomach, you should attach it to your head and zap yourself every time you want to buy something off TV.
That's an excellent point because, you know, you're probably right. Right? Because the one lady that called up Debbie, she says that she's taken not only... You know,
she's got them all.
She's taken a lot of grief, you know, from family members because she's got all these things. But also, too, she feels guilty about it. You know, that this is she's hoping for that magic product that's going to be, like, the next big thing. And in the end, it's the next big thing for the people selling it.
Right. It's the next big thing to collect dust in your closet.
The one that the kids really love before. Well, we're going to take a break. And then we're going to come back. And then we're going to send it to news. And we'll have some of those infomercials, like Sweating to the Oldies. Also a very big one.
Oh, sure.
So keep it here. Quick break, 720 WGN.
Want to raise your heating bill? Blankets are okay, but they can slip and slide. And when you need to reach for something, your hands are trapped inside. Now, there's the Snuggie, the blanket that has sleeves. The Snuggie keeps you totally warm and gives you the freedom to use your hands. So now, you can work the remote or read a book in total warmth and comfort. Use your laptop without being cold or enjoy a snack while staying snugly warm.
Oh.
Snuggie is made of ultra-soft, thick, luxurious fleece.
See, this is it. 720 WGN, it is staying here until 5 a.m. Allstate Skyline Studio. Ultra soft luxury, whatever.
Luxury.
Remember, we had the cyclonic heating air and the.
Yeah. You know,
you've got to make up new words because otherwise people say, hey, it's a blanket. Why don't I just cut a hole in the blanket I got?
Yeah, well, you could do that.
But why would you?
Yeah, when you could actually have a Snuggie that's made for you.
Oh, you know, because, and they did have, you know, came in great colors, right?
Yeah.
It gave you the freedom to.
I just love the commercials when you're standing outside. Here I am at a football game in my Snuggie.
It's just, you know what it does, Dino, is it shows, of course, and Dino Tiberi is here as well. It shows the versatility, is that you think, you know, those other blankets, you know, you may feel uncomfortable, maybe a little self-conscious if you're out and about at a football game, or maybe at your office, you know, in your blanket, under your blanket.
Office.
But now...
How you doing there, Jim? See, you got the Snuggie on today.
Well, I'm sure they make a Snuggie that resembles...
A suit. A suit. The suit Snuggie.
Well, while you're still, and I'm going to quote it, perfectly warm, which is what, who wants to be anything but that, right?
I mean, man.
Yeah. So here's the thing, at 312-981-7200, we've got a few different things going on. We're adding in your favorite baseball movies, so many great ones of those, and we've shared so many, and so thanks for everybody kind of chiming in with those. You can continue to do that throughout the duration of the program, but also somehow we have stumbled into the most favorite or infamous infomercials of all time, and people are adding those thoughts as well. And someone from the 312 said, wait, so where does Shakey's and Barnaby's come into this?
Well,
I don't know.
You got a Snuggie and you got a Shakey. And you can be Shakey and Snuggie at the same time. I don't know.
And your hands are free to enjoy a piece of Shakey's pizza. And I have seen, you know, signs on the door saying no shirt, no shoes, no service. I've never seen a no Snuggie, no service.
So I
bet you can wear your
Snuggie. Looks like you got that Snuggie on. Come on in.
Yeah. You wear your Snuggies to Barnaby's. And I've heard that it's lighter and brighter. And people are getting out there and defending Barnaby's, saying, like, hey, you got to try it. It's great.
Oh, I'm going back there. I told you that. The next time I'm up in the northern suburbs, in Arlington Heights or any of those locations, I'm going in.
I wonder if there's still a Shakey's around. There was one in Gainesville, Wisconsin.
Check that out, too.
All right. So here's one of the other ones. And, of course, you can add yours, 312-981-7200, your favorite infomercials of all time. We've shared some of the all-time money makers. So if you're, you know, you're going to sit there and you're going to maybe get up and share with your significant other, hey, I got an idea. You know,
all right. Let's put it together.
Yeah. Get out there.
We're going to be rich.
Make some money from the 224, kind of weird with the shake weight. So
oh, yeah.
So this is fitness. You know, Bennett brought up the AbZappers. you know, and the Thighmaster and some of these other ones, they've all been very successful. The shake weight was allowed you to, because here's what you're doing, is you're taking, maybe you want the idea of fitness, but you just don't have the ability or want to move much, you know. So you
have
just,
the weight do it for you.
So you just say, and you just barely move your hand, and then the weight moves, and somehow you become incredibly fit.
2 weeks later, you can't lift your arm up.
Well, here's what they do is, if, and I'm imagining it in my mind, you show people, you know, they're at their desk typing, and then one hand has got the shake weight. You know, so you're able to, you're making the kids lunches while you're shake waiting.
Frank, how's your weekend? I'm doing great. I got my shake weight right here.
Now, here from the 779, we know that's Rockford, is the Ginsu knife. It slices and dices. And so here's what you do is, because everybody has a lot of the things, that, we all have blankets, right?
Yeah.
We don't have the Snuggie, so you got to explain why it's different. You know, yeah. Don't you hate it when your remote is stuck under the, you know, but now, right, so you've got it. So the Ginsu knife, if you'll remember this, and if people can remember it, it did all the things a knife would do, which is, you know, you could probably, you know, butter some bread. You could probably, you know, you could cut maybe, you know, some meat.
Sure.
You know, whatever. But this one could also cut a nail. It could cut a beer can in half. How many times have you been thinking to yourself?
Oh, yeah.
You could shake the beer can, much like a shake weight, and you're thinking, is there any beer left in there? I can't tell for sure.
Let's cut a hole open and find out. You know, it's great when you shotgun a beer, Dave, and that's the thing. You just cut that, pop it open, cut a little hole in there, and down it goes.
Yeah. So I think that's it, right? And so you show the skin suit, and here's the thing. You can do all of those things. You could, I think they slice through a cinder block with it, and then it's still able to cut paper. You know, you could just still slice or cut a tomato without smushing it.
Oh, man. Right? I forgot all about that. Yeah, those knives.
That's the Ginsu. Here we go from the 414. The one plate that would magically defrost chickens or steaks without any kind of heat or anything.
It's solar powered?
No.
What's that all about?
Oh, I think it's like an in, and if anybody knows, you can text in 312-981-7200. But I think it's like an infrared. I've seen some of these infomercials where you see the, you know, it's like a hot plate kind of thing, right?
Okay.
But it doesn't actually get hot. I don't ask me how.
But it's still able to defrost your...
Well, it'll do, if you've got the right pan that matches up with it, it can do almost anything. So
and do the work of all of these things.
<You're> like,
I couldn't resist, I'm sorry.
Dino says, yeah, but can it saw through a cinder block? And that's where I think I'm at a
can
loss.
Can it core an apple?
Maybe. So it's, yeah, it's like a circular thing, and it works through some sort of, you know, induction. I don't know what it is.
We're going to need to find out
Ben,
a little more about that.
You know what I'm talking about? Where it's the kind of thing where they show them cooking the, you know, whatever it is, they're kind of boiling water, right? But then the people touch the actual hot plate, and it's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it's some weird technology. Like, I mean,
see, they're not
like
describing
you said, induction.
It like that. Yeah,
yeah,
some weird technology. You know, they've got it's like
you got to write up
magic,
a new script
okay.
for that. There it is. It's magic. Perfect.
But it also poaches eggs perfectly.
Oh, you know it. You know, so it's, but it takes out some of the problems that you have. It brings in kind of the, you're on the cutting edge. You feel like you're in on something really cool. So here's the, and also too, from the 630, we've talked about Pocket Fisherman.
Yeah.
Which was a huge hit. So big.
Of right? course.
Which led to the spinoff of the Bass-O-Matic. And then Mr. Microphone.
I had one of those.
So Dino, describe first, how did you acquire it?
I don't know if I got it at a garage. I'm trying to remember where I picked it up from anyway. Actually, we had it hooked up to a stereo when I was in college.
Now, wait, would you drive by? Because I remember the commercial.
Right.
You pull up, hey, good looking, be back to pick you up later.
I'm getting, there's a little more to the story. A friend of mine had an old Chevette, and he got a speaker from a football field that he had acquired. And we hooked it up to his stereo in his car, and then you just had to get the setting right on the FM dial. The frequency would match.
So the sound actually came out of
the car. Yeah, so you would talk into the mic and it would come out the speaker.
Wow.
It was fantastic. We had it in a dorm. We would put the speaker in the window and you could say, as soon as you hooked it up to the stereo, it was perfect. And they're just like the commercial. You know, you'd go down the street, hey, good looking, we'll be back to pick you up later.
That's right.
You could do that stuff and it worked. You just drive, people would go walking by, you'd say something.
Like
they'd look back like, where would that come from? The guy's talking to me on a microphone somewhere.
Wow.
Yeah, I had one. It was great.
And did it actually work?
It worked. Yeah, it worked fine.
Wow.
I wish I had that thing. Well, I may have to check it out. Maybe eBay or somebody's got it out there. I'll have to pick it up and see how, if it still works.
When it comes to work, I'm not sure this is exactly what we're talking about, but some of the suggestions on we're talking about the magic, you know, whatever, it will defrost something. And from the 815, any plate will defrost food if you leave it out long enough.
Oh man, there goes my million-dollar making opportunity right there.
And then from the 414, it's called Miracle Thaw Defrosting Tray. So we'll look that up.
I just found it. It's Miracle Thaw Defrosting Tray, and it claims to thaw food in minutes with superconductive metal. Electric.
See, that needs
an acronym though. We need to have a name.
Superconducting metal.
Yeah, it's too long.
Sounds pretty good. So here's another one, and this is just a product that does the same kind of stuff that you've probably been doing the entire time without it, but the George Foreman grill. Now, George Foreman was,
too.
And we've heard the story, I think George Foreman and I think Hulk Hogan had the same managers, and for whatever reason, Hulk Hogan didn't get the message. It was on his voice
message.
Oh, so
he turned it down, or he never got it.
I don't know if it would have been a success. I guess it probably would have, right? Because what it was, what the George Foreman grill allowed you to do, and early on in the program, for those people that may not have heard it, someone had brought up, you know, one of their favorite infomercials was like the indoor grill, you know, which allows you to sort of barbecue grill, but indoors. And the George Foreman grill allowed you to do that.
I had one of those.
We've all had. I think it's one of those things.
For me, a bachelor thing, you know, cook it on there, no problem, indoors.
Chicken breasts, and it would
It was fantastic. It dried your, it took all the juice out of the, it took all, it was a lot drier after you cooked it on there, because the whole thing was, it was supposed to be healthy.
Oh, that's right.
Well, how did Hulk Hogan, could you imagine that? I mean, him doing those commercials, come on, brother, get yourself one.
I think you could imagine it. I think you just did imagine
He missed the opportunity, and George Foreman got it.
Well, and of course, he's crabby, but you never know how it would have worked out, because one person pushing the slanket wasn't as successful as the whole snuggie thing. So you never know. The idea of the grill is great, but George Foreman was, I think, was a great pitchman for it.
He made a lot of money doing a lot of stuff.
You know, he would say things like that. And $202 million, it got to the point where he made so much money that the George Foreman grill people just wrote him a giant check.
Said that's it.
Because initially, I guess his deal was he would make a percentage off of everyone sold, and it got to be really expensive. And so they just made, you know, okay, some kind of giant number. What number blows your mind, George Foreman? Yeah. And he signed for that, and it's still making a couple hundred million. They've changed it quite a bit, because the first ones, you'll remember, you know, they were impossible to clean.
Right.
You couldn't even take the things off. You had to sort of like wipe it down with a paper towel, and then of course all the juices would come, you know.
Yeah, it was a mess.
So it's a $200 million a year mess, but they've perfected the George Foreman grill.
Sure. Yeah. Now it's, and all of his kids named George, they're all in on it.
George
the seventh.
It's right. Here's the thing too, and I think this is true, right, Dino, is that he has many kids, and they're all named George.
Yep.
Well, if it's not broke, don't fix it.
That's right. All right. Hey, that's a name that it's successful. George Foreman.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. So we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to have more of the greatest infomercials of all times, or ones that you know or love or cringed or got the products. 312-981-7200. You can add your thought as well, and we are going to talk a little bit about Sweatin' to the Oldies, which is one of the all-time greats as well. So keep it here. It is Dane here, along with Dino, 720 WGN.
Hi, Billy Mays here for OxiClean, the stain specialist. Powered by the air you breathe, activated by the water that you and I drink. It's Mother Nature approved, then it's safe on your colored fabrics. Use it on carpets. OxiClean seeks out organic stains, pet stains, food stains. They get
720 WGN, high atop Chicagoland and the Allstate Skyline. So you see, it's seeking out
the stains for you. You don't even have to have
it's all natural.
There.
It's powered by the air you breathe. Energized by the water you drink. You know what I mean?
It just makes it sound like it's going to work right there and then.
It just seems.
I don't even have the product in my hand, and it's going to clean those stains up.
Dino, you remember the movie Elf, right? Where, you know, the guys are writing children's books, and they have to bring in, you know, the one guy comes in, the specialist. That's what they got. They got this guy, because they're thinking, well, it's, you know, get stains out. That's boring, right? So you need a guy to come in. It's like energized and
sure, throw in some adjectives that make it sound better.
Yeah. So here's one of the things. Ronco Showtime Rotisserie Oven from the 630. We've had a couple people send in for this. And the Ronco guy, that's Ron Popeil, right? And he just created a bunch of different things. the Showtime. This is where I'm thrown off a little bit. I understand it could be a rotisserie and also an oven, right? It spins. But where's the Showtime part?
Showtime. Rotisserie.
He's like, hey, come on, everybody. The movie's starting. No, wait. We're in the kitchen watching the rotisserie. You know, was that the way that it works? Ben, are you familiar with this product?
I have not seen that one.
Yeah, I remember this one.
What does it do? That's so great.
What made it Showtime?
Did it have a disco ball attached to the top or something?
I mean, it looks like it could.
Fireworks, smoke show, I mean, laser lights, dancers.
You would think it would for what it does to chicken.
Most of the time, rotisserie is very boring, but not now.
Not now.
Not when you see it go around the rotisserie at 200 miles an hour.
Showtime. Yeah, I had to pull it up just to remember all the features on it. And now that I read it versus see the commercial, I'm very underwhelmed.
Well, where's the Showtime part?
There, it doesn't say. That's just the name.
They bring in some dancers to go around the rotisserie. Come on, girls!
It's got a, right. It has like a one of those smoke machines. You know, dry ice or something.
But it does have the two important features you need. Removable glass door is dishwasher safe.
See, oh,
only 13 inches tall, so it fits directly under your standard.
What is
cabinets.
It like? What is like a leg you cook in there, and that's it?
Yeah, pretty much.
No, it's just one, like, hot wing or whatever.
Yeah, that's right.
Because here's what you do, is you take whatever it is that you've got going for you on the product side, and you just maximize, and you just be positive about that. So instead of being too small to really cook anything at all, it's like, size considerate to fit in any space, And then instead of like, okay, you can't really cook more than just one, chicken wing in there, then it's like, portion control for a fitter you.
By eating less, you'll be losing more weight.
So when it came to Showtime, I don't think there was a man who said Showtime or just exemplified the word Showtime more than Richard Simmons. And Richard Simmons was also not only an entertainer, TV star, icon, right? When it came to short shorts, he was the man, right?
Yeah, and
the
tank top. No question about that.
And it's just unbridled enthusiasm. This was a guy that was excited.
Yeah, about everything. Everything. Yeah.
But specifically excited about sweating. And, of course, he loved the oldies, and who doesn't?
Yeah.
So Richard Simmons had sweat into the oldies, approximately $200 million he made that. He didn't spend any of it on new outfits because he kind of,
wore the same stuff every time.
Yeah. I mean, he just maybe bedazzled it, maybe with some sequins or something like that.
You wear the, American flag shorts, that kind of stuff.
So here we go. So this is it. A little insight from the listeners, 312-981-7200. Your favorite infomercial or one that has made an impact on you or you think was funny or you want to share. And on the line with us, we've got Dave. Dave, you have the information related to the mysterious rotisserie, right?
Yes, sir. I'm a retired chef, and my owner bought me one for Christmas. And he loves his. And I've used it. It does cook well, but it is really hard to clean.
Oh, man.
See, Dave,
there's a lot of bits and pieces, and it's not easy to clean at all.
So these are the things that would not make it into the infomercial. It's hard to clean. Impossible to keep clean.
Well, that's why they don't show anything about cleaning it.
And you need like 3 feet of counter space to put it on, too, to use it. But it's not really glitz and glamour, like they say, Showtime. But it is kind of... you do get into a trance watching that chicken go round and round and round.
Is it because, Dave, that is there like a multicolored strobe light that goes on with the chicken?
No, there's nothing fancy about it. And by the way, how they say in the infomercial, set it and forget it. Well, yeah. When you get one brand new, there's a huge sticker on the front that says, do not take that literally. You cannot walk away from this thing.
False advertising right there.
It'll start your house on fire.
There it is. Set it and don't forget it.
That's exactly right.
So when there's a giant sticker with a disclaimer, it's one of the things that says it. So does it also, is there a disclaimer on the Showtime thing? Like Showtime is a figure of speech,
I don't know if I ever saw, I guess I did see the infomercial. It was years ago, right? It was like 10 years old. at least, maybe 15.
Yeah, a lot of people have checked in with it, though, and said it. And, of course, you're familiar with it as well. And it's kind of interesting to hear because usually they'll say this is a product that will give you, you know, if you don't have the skills or the background or the talent of a chef, you know, you can have this gadget that will help you. So it's interesting that, you know, you as a chef actually had one. Obviously, it was
a gift.
Yeah.
Was it a gag gift, Dave?
Well, no, it was a Christmas, you know, bonus gift, you know.
Oh, there you go.
Now, was there any, now, let's see, you're from it's the 218 area code. Where is that?
Well, I live in Illinois here, but I used to live in Minnesota, northern Minnesota.
Okay.
And I'm back in my hometown, Chicagoland. You know, I'm out in the far south, Livingston County.
Well, Dave, even though you could make your own pizza, we'll let you kind of suggest your favorite pizza, and we'll put you in for the gift card. Do you have a favorite pizza now that you're here in a land where maybe there's more pizza than there is?
What do they have in Livingston County? What kind of pizza joints they have down there?
Nothing really good. We got a Gio's, and we got a Dwight pizza or something. And we got a Boyer's. That's about it.
Wow,
I'm in Dwight, so... my favorite pizza is Aurelio's. I grew up in Homewood.
Oh, yeah, that's where it originally started.
Yeah, Aurelio's is one of the...
Fantastic pizza.
Yeah, it's got the great sweet sauce, and then, of course, we always have it with the pepperoni on top when they get a little bit of crunchy on there.
Aurelio's is, man, that's a favorite. I mean, I only get it, like, maybe once every 2 years.
Well, we gotta step up on that. Well, we're gonna add it in there, Aurelius, for you, Dave, and good luck with that. Thanks for jumping on and filling us in on the.
You want a favorite baseball movie?
Yeah, if you've got one, go ahead.
Bad News Bears.
Hey, there it is,
Walter Matthau. Yeah. All the way.
He's the man.
Not for the kids, but is it about kids?
Yeah.
So, all right, thanks, Dave. We appreciate you jumping on tonight.
Thank you. Good morning.
All right, so that's well, so he kind of dispelled a little bit of the mystery that. The Showtime side. But he did say it was mesmerizing watching the rotisserie, so I could
see that's why it was Showtime.
Yeah, but then you think that
I'm hypnotized. Just watching it go around in a circle.
Just set it and forget it, and then it says, don't do that. It will burn your house down.
Set it and don't forget it.
Right. And, you know, those stickers don't... You know, nobody in the research is just like, hey, you know, maybe we should put a sticker on there. I'm sure... more than a few houses got burned down before they said, why don't we put a sticker on? Because you remember with McDonald's and the hot coffee?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they had to, like, you know, pay a few $1 million for people spilling on their lap before they said, let's put something on there. Said, if you spill it, it's on you.
literally.
All right, we're going to take a break, and we come back. We are going to talk. We've got a bunch of different things that we're going to go. We talk transformative travel on our show On the Road, and we do want to talk a little bit about going places. Gatorland was a place that we went. We didn't know exactly what we were going to do tonight for the show, and so I did get a chance to check out Gatorland. Dino, have you ever in the wild, maybe golfing on a vacation or anything, have you ever found yourself face-to-face with an alligator?
I did when I was in Florida one time. There was a gator on the course that we played on.
Because you've seen Happy Gilmore.
Oh, yeah.
And you know about Chubbs.
And it's kind of like walk away. Don't go. If you hit the ball near, you know, if I hit it over by a gator, not so long. But take a drop on the other, as far away as possible. All right. I wouldn't go anywhere near that.
We're going to touch on that. And then, of course, your favorite infomercials of all time, your favorite pizza of all time, and your favorite baseball movie of all time. 312-981-7200. You can add your thoughts. Quick break, then we'll come back. Send it to News 720 WG.
Hi, I'm George Foreman, and this is my lean, mean, fat-reducing grilling machine. It grills delicious food in a healthy way, fast.
The George Foreman grill cooks from both sides at once, cutting most cooking times in half. It's also healthier cooking because the slanted grill channels fat and grease away from food. Seared outside, moist inside. It's perfect for cooking steak, fish, burgers, and vegetables.
The great features of my grill will make mealtimes faster and easier in your home.
720 WGN. Hi, it's Tom Chicago in the Allstate.
There it is.
Skyline Studio. Now, there it is. Now, and I see, with a little backstory that we gave the listeners that we knew about as far as Hulk Hogan missing his voice.
That's right, brother.
And it's interchangeable here. So I think they had the commercial written out. So you see how George Foreman said it was this lean, mean grilling machine?
Yes.
Couldn't you see Hulk Hogan saying, like, hey.
Lean, mean grilling machine.
Mean Gene.
The Mean Gene grilling machine.
Right? Exactly.
Hey, Mean Gene, it's my grilling machine.
Because now I have it sounded like Mr. T. I think Mr. T was like maybe the third or fourth call down. Somebody was going
to
get it.
Yeah, and it happened to be George Foreman. He turned it into an empire.
Wow.
George.
He's got a team.
They're all in on it.
I think that's it, because you want people to help out, you know, because let's say there's a trade show somewhere else. It's like, meet George Foreman with the grill. But
it's like his fourth son's there.
Right.
Who are you? I'm George Foreman. Like, what?
You're like, yeah, it's like a 16-year-old kid. He's like, I am George Foreman.
I'm part of the empire. Here I am.
When it comes to an empire, and as far as trying to, like, you know, lead the way, rocking the short shorts and the tank tops, Richard Simmons was that guy. You know, infomercial pitchmen, the rules seem to be louder and more obnoxious. Billy, and of course, Ben had played that, the OxyClean
commercial. Right, Billy Mays.
Billy Mays, right, or Vince ShamWow. You know, with his slap chop and the ShamWow and all the stuff that he had done. Richard Simmons was a perfect fit for the industry in the 80s. He sashayed his teeny weeny striped shorts into more than 20 million living rooms around the world and helped viewers aerobicize their way to a healthier life simply by sweating to the oldies. Now, I'm wondering if maybe some of those older songs, maybe it was because they were familiar. People like the song, you want to get up and dance, and maybe you get up, dance, and then you high-stepping a little bit, and maybe you're like moving your arms. Who knows what it is? Like, why did he choose the oldies? Couldn't have been, you know,
modern music from the time that he was doing
it. Classics. You know, let's say.
Sweating to the oldies.
Sweating to Bach. You know, sweating to Mozart.
Maybe it was an age thing. You had to be a certain age to do those. I don't know.
I don't know. And he used to have an actual show. Yeah. Yeah, it was like a real show, you know, where he would come out, and it was basically a good exercise class. You know, he would go ahead and they would do jumping jacks. And I mean, from what I can remember as a kid, I watched it, and he would do jumping jacks. And
let's go!
And everyone had leg warmers on, and they were maniacs. You know, it was great. But he still...
Well, the 80s, they did that stuff back then.
Yeah, he still does stuff to this day. He has, and I think probably warm weather, he could use a snuggie because, you know, with the weather, it's tough to run around in just a tank top and shorts.
Yeah, you might have to incorporate a couple of different infomercial products together, make it all work.
Let's incorporate this one, which is one of the best ones, and it came in from the 414, so our good friends north of the border there, is the Flobee. And again, what you're doing with all of these is you're taking things that you do already, you're making it easy where you either don't have to move, you don't have to leave or go anywhere, or maybe it magically does it through, you know, cosmic convection air or something like that. So the Flobee, if you'll remember this, this is the kind of invention you could just come up with. It would be like on a modern day Shark Tank.
Yeah.
Right? Because the Flobee was a vacuum cleaner. But it was a clear tube, so you could see it, and then it had like a blade on it, right? And it would give you a haircut.
Yeah, I think I remember seeing that in one of the Wayne's World movies.
This is a real
turn it off, man. Turn it off.
This is a real thing. So the Flobee was, and it was pretty successful, and people were able to go ahead and get haircuts, and so then you didn't have to take those long trips to the salon.
The salon, yeah, or sit in the barber chair and have Vito cut your hair. You know, that's one of those things. You do it yourself. I can't imagine what that would have been like. I mean, I remember seeing it. I just never...
Well, I don't know who actually had it, because I've never... I mean, I remember the infomercial.
Yeah.
And it's because it just looked amazing, right? But then you're still a little skeptical. Because
Does it actually work?
Well, and you couldn't do it by yourself. I think you needed an expert. I think it was made for moms who were going to help the kids.
We don't want to traumatize them by taking them to the barbershop.
Well, let's say we'll
traumatize them with this thing right here in our own home.
Let's say you're the Foreman family and you've got 7 haircuts to pay for, right?
That's true.
So you just gotta, you have the Flobee.
Yeah.
But you need an extra person. So I think that's maybe, and it did catch on to the point where we're obviously familiar with it. We know what it is.
And they sold a bunch of units.
And they must have sold. But yeah, you needed more people because I don't think you could Flobee yourself. Maybe you could. Ben, he'll check that out a little bit. If you could Flobee yourself, because I think it was like a vacuum cleaner. I don't know if it was that big, but so you had a tube, and then there was blades in the tube. But you know what my kids would do as soon as they had that?
Disconnect it?
No. I mean, it would
start to, use it on someone, like on a pet? What?
Well, yes, for sure. Yes. But they would stick stuff into it, I'm sure, until it, you know, stick a fork in
now
it.
Now it just, yeah, there's no flow in the Flobee.
There's no way the Flobee would last. Yeah. So here's one from the 724. Growing up in the late 70s, it wasn't so much infomercials as it was commercials from crazy products like Ginsu. We talked about it, right?
Yeah.
Because you want your knife to be versatile. Let's say you don't want to have a lot of knives. Well, I have a whole room full of knives. When you have one knife that can, you know, cut a beer can open.
Right.
And also, you know, fillet something, you know, or, you know, chop onions.
Still keeps that sharpness going.
Saw a nail. How many times have you had a nail?
I can't. I got that on my list right now. Things to do later today. Saw a nail.
That's right. Because you don't want to just pull the nail out. You want to saw it. And then also Miracle Eraser. Now, the Miracle Eraser is pretty great. And so thank you for that one from the 724. Thank you for everybody, for all of them. But this is one that really kind of works. You know, yeah. OxiClean really works. For all of their talk about energized by the air you breathe and, you know, empowered by the water and all, it really does work. You throw some of that stuff in there, your clothes are noticeably cleaner. So I think mission accomplished. You don't right. have to get all cosmic on it. But the Miracle Eraser is pretty amazing. I don't know how it works. 312-981-7200, if anybody has an idea.
Wasn't that the thing you take stain off like a surface, like a
yeah.
on the wall?
If your kids write, if magic marker.
Dad, you stink. And you got to erase, that off the wall.
I was going to say, how did you know they said that? No, but if they write, if whatever they do, let's say they're even just scribbling, you can take this thing and you can put it on, and it will take a lot of things off. I mean,
including the paint.
I mean, it really is sort of a
I'm kidding.
I don't know. But it really does work, and I'm not exactly sure how it works, like whether it's, you know, I'm jaded and cynical, so I'm thinking.
I think I used it a long time ago, and it did take the mark right off the wall. I mean, successful.
So your wall no longer says Dane, you stink.
No, it just says Ain, you stink. The D came off. That was it.
Oh my gosh, they're great. And also too is on the pizza side, we've got a few of those to share as well. Favorite pizza, this is from the 815 in McHenry, Old Town Pizza in McHenry. Right? Okay. Infomercial is the Pocket Fisherman. Got it from my husband. He was a police officer. On midnights, he'd use his break time to cast into one of the ponds and see what he'd come up. See, this is it. So even if you're there, you know, one of our, you know, great men and women in uniform, you're out there stamping out crime. Sure. You know you'd rather be fishing.
Oh, yeah, at least for when you take a break, why not?
Yeah, take a break and you find like a puddle to a pond.
Sure,
anything.
An hour and a half later, it's not supposed to be on break, you're still reeling in the fish.
What do you
As the one guy said.
Well, you got the fish, you get him in there, and then he goes on that next call with you. Riding a shotgun. Let's see, where is we got another pizza? Joe's Italian, this is from the 708. Joe's Italian Villa on South Harlem Avenue in Palos makes the most amazing thin crust pizza. They make their own sausage in-house. That's the key. You got to have the crust, but then the sausage is like really the big deal.
Yeah, you got to have that right.
Yeah, if you're looking at a Domino's, nothing against the great people, but here in Chicago, we've got so many things to choose from. You've got those little kind of circle balls of tasteless, you know, sausage. It's just not the same. If you make your own sausage, you're really ahead of the game. The family's been making pizza in the area since the 40s, and you make special trips to eat there, even though I live far away. And that's Caneville Gal from the 708. Let me think. There was one other one we wanted to mention. Palermo's. This is from the 708 in Oak Lawn. Is the best pizza around. Everybody's got their own opinion, right?
Yeah.
Their deep dish is a true deep dish with a little bit of cheese and a lot of crust. I'm not sure what that means, but Jimbo knows. From the 708. So there you have it.
Yeah, wow. There's, you know, I've had several. Like Uncle Pete's is another one that I like that's in the suburbs.
Where's
one? There's one in Naperville. I think there's one in Addison and one in Westmont.
There's one in Westmont, like off of, is it Cash?
Yeah. That's another really good pizza.
Wow. Right,
and so one that's off that, not, you know, like a big chain or a big. This is kind of a local place.
I wonder if there's an infomercial about making your own pizza.
I'm sure if there is, it's out there. There's got to be one out there somewhere.
All right. So if you've got one of your favorite infomercials, you can share it 312-981-7200. We are sharing your favorite pizzas of all time. And we're going to we're going to put everybody into a hopper. We're going to pull one out before the end of the show and win a gift card to Nancy's Pizza, which has been around since 1969. And Nancy's is pretty great,
too. Good stuff. Good pizza there.
Yep. And then also your favorite baseball movies. And the winner for that is going to get a $25 gift card to Bone of Beef in support of Blake Stubbs and all those great movies that he shared.
Hi. I'm Brian Collins, thanking you for purchasing the Flowbee. Proper suction is the key to getting great-looking haircuts with no cleanup.
Yeah. 720 no WGN, cleanup. Highest Off Chicago Allstate Skyline Studio. See, we talked about it. You got to dress it up, right? And so this isn't just suction. It's proper suction, Dino. That's the key.
No cleanup.
It is the key. I'm not sure what the...
Dane, you know what's great? His website is still up and going. And his current picture looks like it is exactly what it was in 87.
He's got the nice feathered hairdo.
Look at his hair. Look at the Flobee did this.
Well, you know, when you come up with an invention, you want to come up with something that you know people are going to need. People are going to need haircuts, you know, in the 2000s. If it's 1980, you know that this is a thing that people have needed haircuts all the way since the Dark Ages. I think, right? Everybody's...
Oh, there's been hair cutting forever.
Well, like, who invented haircuts? Like, Jebediah haircut back in... Who knows who did that? All right, who knows who did it? So here's the thing is we're also sharing 312-981-7200, your favorite infomercials, and also some of your favorite pizza places. We have had a little renaissance and a love affair with Barnaby's, and Barnaby's is getting, you know, a lot of people really love it because I remember it long, you know, way back in the days, super dark stained glass window.
Yeah.
You know, you could get a great dirty martini, and Ben had mentioned that you've got a lot of 70s dirt in one of the things, but that's not true. You know, I think
it's a clean place. We can't say it's dirty. Yep.
People are
maybe dated might be a way of saying it a little bit.
But some of that is like retro and
yeah,
and cool.
But that's what people are into. So, yeah. I mean, you know, there's no reason to change it if it works.
Yep. Yep. And people are loving it. And there's some of those as well. So Jimbo had texted back is the crust. The crust that was great, not the cross.
Remember, the cross, yeah.
We were confused. So, and
then, so what happens, Ron Burgundy, when you read it right off the script?
San Diego. So here we go. From the 630, someone has mentioned, didn't they cut an expletive radiator hose with a Ginsu? And the answer is yes, they did. They cut through a radiator. So here it is. So it's not even just like, Dino, you said, hey, you as a hobby, you want to cut some nails. Or maybe as a party trick to see exactly how much beer is or isn't left in that can, you want to cut the can. This is, let's say you're stranded on the roadside. And what do you need? Do you need, you know, AAA? No.
No.
You just
Ginsu
need a
knife.
You need a Ginsu knife.
That's it.
You know, let's say that radiator hose needs to be cut. Probably do a tracheotomy.
Swiss Army knife first, then the Ginsu knife next.
Yeah, that's what you got. So yeah, they did that. Well, they were trying to show that it takes a lick and keeps on ticking, that you can use it, you could do whatever you want with it, and boom, there it is, slicing julienne potatoes.
You cut know. Those beer cans and make them into a hat.
What? Okay. All right. And then from the 708, because people are able to kind of add in with their favorite pizzas, add in your favorite infomercial, and your favorite baseball movie of all time, as both teams are in spring training. From the 708, the school bus driver, Bill, says that the fifth quarter pizza in Homewood has great pizza.
Fifth quarter. Okay.
Are you aware of that one?
I'm not, but I'm going to have to start writing. Yeah, jot some of these down so I can stop in and have a slice.
There is, and that's one of the things. Is there? People are passionate about their pizzas. They love the places that are in their neighborhoods, and they are as diverse and different as a snowflake, right, Tino? Everyone is unique and different. But hopefully, when it comes to Flobee, there's some uniformity, and each one is as good as the one that was mentioned. Paul is on the line. Paul, welcome to WGN.
Yeah, I had the Flobee back in the 80s.
Wow. Nice.
And I used it about six times, and it never could really cut your hair very well.
There's a shock.
So wait a minute, because you know what? I don't want to tell you this, but we played the infomercial. I don't remember any of those words being in there. Hey, it doesn't really
doesn't work.
Yeah.
Here's some testimony.
You could do it yourself. You just had to look in the mirror while you were doing it.
Make sure it was still your hair you were cutting at that point, right?
No.
Yeah.
Was there a way to adjust the length? Because what I remember was there was a tube.
It had plastic fittings at different sizes. So if you wanted long hair, you'd put some long plastic thing on, and it would hold it farther away from your head to cut it different lengths.
Oh my gosh. Now here you said you were able to do it yourself, which I think is important because otherwise it makes it more difficult, because if you don't have a bunch of people around you that you're trusting with your haircut, then you know you really can't use it. So you were able to use it yourself, but you said you had to kind of look in the mirror in order to make sure that you weren't making a mistake.
Yep.
Well, I would think you'd have to, because otherwise it's blind.
I also had the pasta machine. It was a little machine. You put the flour and the egg in the water, and it would grind it up inside, and then it would shoot it through little dies and make the pastas.
So you
used it once. Used it once and it went into the cupboard and never came out again.
Oh. You know, but
the
pasta people got paid, and so that's, I think, mission accomplished.
One and done.
I think that was $170 down the drain.
Holy cow,
Paul! That is some. Yeah, but see, but here's the thing. I think it's a testament to like how well and how much thought gets put into these commercials, because
all marketing.
That's pretty big. Because now, so how disappointed were you? Was there any kind of way you can return it, or it did? It worked. It just was it inconvenient? Because remember with the rotisserie.
You probably could take it back, but I think someone else bought it for me.
That's it. Oh, look at this thing. Here, I'll sell it to you for the low price of $270.
Oh, man,
that's fantastic.
Okay, I got a good pizza place in Waukesha, Wisconsin.
Yes.
Called Jimmy's Garotto.
Garotto, really?
They make a pizza, which is they take a piece of pizza dough, fresh. They stuff it with the fillings, and then they deep fry the whole thing.
It's like a
calzone.
It's
right?
A panzerotti.
Yeah, it's like a giant panzerotta or whatever.
It's what it is. I have had that. I have had one of those at that place, and it is absolutely legendary. I'm excited that you shared that, Paul. That's awesome.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah,
they're very good.
All right, thanks, man. We'll add it to the list, and good luck, and thanks for jumping on the show.
Okay, bye.
You know, I'm seeing the kind of a common theme here is that some of these people have some of these things, but they were gifts. So, but that's a pretty expensive, you know, gift.
What was the
retail? Ben, do you have any idea the retail value on a Flobee? I mean, this is not
$29.95.
It's got to be more than that. It's got a motor. And I didn't get a chance to ask. To ask Paul if anybody had
that's
stuck
probably what we should have been
it.
Doing was asking how much they paid for the items just to get an idea ballpark.
Yeah, I wonder if people just aren't admitting that they bought
them. No, that's true. They're admitting they have them. That's the first step into therapy, you know.
As of right now,
so you can still buy one
on Flobee.com. Wow. You can order the Flobee system with Super Mini Vac for $129.95.
What? 120? Wow.
But you know,
I think you need to take that home, order it, and do your kids' haircuts with that.
Well, we got girls in that. I don't know that. Because, you know, as he had described it, the longer your hair, the longer you had to hold your arm out. And so, I don't know.
4 feet away, does that work?
Look, let's say Crystal Gale. You got to do it from across the room. You know. All right. So, okay. I think that's. You think how many haircuts does it cost? When does this thing start making money?
Well, what did he say? He only done it six times.
He did it six times. So let's say
it's over.
And I think you're expecting. You know, it's not Mario Tricosi, right? I think you're expecting sort of like a Supercuts level haircut if you're doing it yourself with a vacuum cleaner.
I've been doing mine for years. You know, I just take a clipper and that's it. You know, but. It was a precursor to doing your own with the clippers. I mean, years ago, you went to a barber. Now you can just do it yourself.
Here's some of the, because you want to look your best whenever you're heading out to some of these great pizza places. Danny's Pizza on Archer Avenue near Midway.
Been by that. I've never been in it, though. That's another good stop.
From the 779. And then Pizza Hut is the most popular pizza in Rockford. We've got another Rockford person enjoying that. And then Al's Pizza in Warrenville.
That's another great one. That's a great thin crust pizza there. I've had that several times.
See? And these places are the kind where you know when you're calling on like a Friday or Saturday night, all you're going to get from like the 16-year-old lady, girl, that answers the phone is like, please hold.
Yeah.
And then you're going to sit there. It's an hour wait. You're going to wait for an hour and you're going to go ahead and do it. So it's great to be able to, let's say you're waiting and you're near a pond. You're going to pull out your propio pocket fisherman, and maybe you're going to catch some fish.
Sure, you're multitasking. That's it.
So we've got an opportunity as part of our On the Road road trips to head to Gatorland. And I love zoos. We love zoos. We talk about the zoos. We've had people on from Brookfield Zoo, Milwaukee Zoo, Indianapolis Zoo, you name it, zoos. We're all about them, but...
All zoos, all the time, including a morning zoo.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. So, but when you have those zoos that are specialized to certain animals, you know, certain things, you know, where they've got sort of the Cosley Zoo out in Wheaton, you know, it's kind of zoos. It's a zoo that has the animals you would find in your yard for the most part. You know, it's a squirrel, you know, or a bird. I'm just saying. No, but so they have have specialties in Florida, and this, as you can imagine, and Dino, you talked about it being out on the golf course and running into an alligator. You want to be able to interact with alligators, but in more of a controlled setting, right?
Of course.
Maybe a giant Galapagos turtle, maybe a couple other kind of animals, you know, on the lizard sort of spectrum.
Sure.
Right? And so Gatorland, we got a chance to go to Gatorland, and we got a chance to see the gators. We got a chance to, this is, you think if you're going to be at the Shedd Aquarium, let's say you fell into the shark tank, right?
Yeah.
Sounds like a stressful situation, but you think really sharks, you know, they're feeding them regularly. They really don't want to bite you. They don't think you're a seal. You know, you're probably, the odds are pretty good. But if you fell into this kind of pond filled with about like 60 gators that are, you know, leaping for chickens, it's pretty much over. So, I mean, there's some serious, because there's not a lot of thought process on the gator. This is my opinion. You know, nothing against the gator community and how they think, but it seems like they just kind of make decisions to bite, just, you know,
pretty, anything that moves.
Yeah. So we got a chance to go to Gatorland. We come back from the news. We're going to have our interview with Tim Williams. He's one of the great guys over there at Gatorland, and this is down in the Orlando area. But one of the fun things that we got to do, so we're there, and there's, you know, they're kind of rolling out the red carpet a little. They're excited to have us there to talk about Gatorland. Got the family with. We did a family road trip, and so there was this, I don't know, 15-foot-long albino alligator that was in one of these, you know, enclosures with the plexiglass front or some kind of glass. You could see through it, but hopefully it was sturdy. And so he walks us in. He wants, well, let's get a picture, right? And so he wants to bring the kids in. And my thought is, you know, if you've ever seen any of those, you know, when blank attacks,
yeah,
you know, this could go bad.
Animals attack.
You know, and I'm hearing a Vic Vaughn in my head saying, like, and in a freak, you know, gator occurrence at Gatorland, you know, the local radio person was eaten, right?
Eaten alive by...
It happens, yeah. Right? And I'll just be one of those YouTube videos. I guess that's some level of immortality. Anyway, so we're in there, and he's saying, like, walk slow. He's like, keep your pacing real slow. Don't make any fast movements, you know, because he could strike. And meanwhile, this alligator is making this noise.
How far, like, away was he from where
I am walking?
Like, right next to you?
Next to you, like a foot away.
I don't think so.
I'm walking by it, and it's... But I'm there under supervision with a guy who, you know, he's the gator whisperer. So there's a level of trust. And he's like, okay. And it's making this hissy growl noise, which, you know, I'm saying this sounds bad, right?
Yeah, he's not happy.
Yeah, so we got a picture with the gator, and the kids, they were all, it was a little scary. Well, I'll show up. We'll put it up at WGNRadio.com. Quick break. Then we're going to come back, throw it to news, and then we're going to have our adventure from Gatorland. Keep it here, 720 WGN.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Hey, this is Kevin Harvick, driver of the number 4 Jimmy John's Ford Fusion, and you're on the road with Dane on WGN.
720 WGN, high atop Chicago Allstate Skyline Studio. Here we've got Dino Tiberi to my left, riding shotgun, and Ben in the booth, and we've got a couple different kind of streams of consciousness when it comes to the things we're talking about. Your favorite baseball movies. People are adding their thoughts in there. 312-981-7200. Same number to add in your favorite pizzas. We're talking about some of the great pizzas out there from all over the place. You know, all over the Chicagoland area for sure, and north of the border. Marty Pizza from Brookfield, Wisconsin, from the 414. Has been suggested as well. And then, of course, your favorite infomercial of all time, the Flobee, was one of our recent conversations. And it sounds like Ben's got a line in on the best deal, because it says on Amazon they're selling them for $139.95. Maybe that's a commemorative model.
$139.95.
Maybe that's one with extra attachments or perfect zuckage or whatever
it's. If you want it without the actual pump, so you just plug it into your own vacuum cleaner.
Oh, geez.
It's only $89.95.
Oh, that's all?
That's it?
Yeah. So save money on the pump and just plug it into your vacuum.
If something happens with that hose, use your Ginsu. You can cut that Flobee hose along with your radiator.
Make sure those hoses are cleaned out from all your vacuuming.
Here's a couple of the other ones. 262, we've got Dear Dane, Dino, Vic, Ben, hi. Remember great thin crust brick oven pizza in Edison Park Inn across from Metro Northwest Line Station. There you go. You got that one. Norwood Park. And 630, Jake's Pizza in Franklin Park.
Heard of it. Never been there.
Okay. Tortorese's in Downers Grove.
Heard of that one, too, and haven't been there.
Yeah, so there's some great suggestions. Best baseball movie from the 815, Eastbound and Down.
Oh, that's a series that on HBO.
And then here we go, 630. We're forgetting Home Run Pizza, and even the frozen pizza is awesome from Home Run Pizza. Home Run Pizza, they got it.
Home Run Inn, yeah, they're fantastic. That's a great pizza, too.
And then tying into this from the 219, BJ Gators in Crown Point, Indiana is awesome. From Jason to Indiana, ties into, we were talking a little bit about getting up close and personal with some of your favorite or maybe infamous animals, you know, that are out there, but you want to, you know, be at one with the natural kingdom.
Like in Omaha's, you're a brave soul, my friend. I don't know how you pulled that one off.
But. So it's, I find some of our road trips, our family road trips, you get out there. We love zoos. You get out and you get to see some of those. Gatorland in Orlando was one that we got to check out. And we got to talk with Tim Williams, very proud of everything going on at Gatorland.
This is just the premier park, the oldest theme park in Central Florida. We started in 1949, which I tell everybody is 25 BD. That's 25 years before Disney. And the original park was 16 acres. We're now 110. We're getting ready to open up our swamp buggy rides. We've got three great shows, Gator Wrestling, Gator Jumparoo, the Up Close Encounter Show. This year we have about 2,000 alligators, a couple of hundred crocodiles, and a plethora, which is a word I cannot spell, of other animals, birds and snakes and turtles, and it just goes on and on and on.
I was surprised to hear that. That there are more things than gators, but you got to think about this. You know, there are, I don't know if there are many animals out there in the animal kingdom that have intrigued so many or provided so much fascination for people young and old alike. People love the gators. In your opinion, as a guy who's been here for a long time and seen this, and certainly we'll talk about a lot of the other things going on, but what is it about the gator that makes it so interesting that 400,000 people show up here every year?
Well, I think it's the fact that their numbers in the wild have made such a great comeback. We now find them from coastal North Carolina, south through Florida, west along the Gulf States into Texas. So anytime you're in those areas, there's a good chance you're going to bump into a gator. Hopefully it's going to be at a place like Gatorland, but there's a good chance you'll bump into a wild gator. And one of the things we strive very hard to do is to help educate people about what these animals are about. I think, you know, our ignorance makes us afraid of things. Doesn't mean we'll fall in love with them as we learn more, but at least we can respect them and know how to live with them, because we're building our homes and our businesses in their backyards, and they've been here 20 million years. They're not going anywhere. When everything's wiped out of Florida, if that ever happens, I assure you there will be mosquitoes, cockroaches, and alligators still walking around.
You mentioned bumped into, and that is one of the things I think that has made them so relevant in people's lives, is that you always hear those stories of people encountering them in their backyard, in their pool, on their porch, in the road, at the golf course. So the gators, even though they are, you know, a mysterious and ancient animal and certainly dangerous, I think people can respect that, it is something we come in contact with.
It is, and they have this aura about them that people think they're out there waiting on us to show up so they
aren't can they
around. Well, I certainly hope not. You know, I tell everybody the most dangerous thing we do at Gatorland every day is drive to and from work. That's far more dangerous than working with these animals, and it's dangerous working with them, but we kind of have an idea of what we're doing. Yeah. We hope we do. But the fact that they have attacked people, usually average somewhere between 12 and 20 attacks a year, which is not many when you consider how many gators are out there. And fatalities are very rare, very, very rare, even though it's no fun getting chewed on by an alligator or shark or God knows what. But I think if we learn that if you're going into places that's alligator habitat, if we learn what to look for and how to conduct ourselves, we can decrease the chances of us having an encounter with one of these marvelous animals.
Well, you mentioned the word learn, and education is such a big part of what happens here. What I love about it, and one of the things and the reasons I thought it was important to highlight what's going on here at Gatorland, is that you have, I think, a very unique and, of course, safety-minded, educational focus, proximity to them. You really get to get up close and personal.
You do. It's one of the few parks where we encourage people to take part in our shows. The Gator Wrestling Show is where we catch a gator between 6 and 8 feet long. It's not taped up, and our handlers get there to use the animal as a demonstration on how an alligator is made, what it can and can't do. Shows are fun, funny, but also very serious and very educational. And afterwards, people get an opportunity to come down and sit on that gator. We tape it up. We make it safe. But I can tell you all day long what an alligator feels like, but until you touch and hold an alligator, you don't know what it feels like and how it's made. And I think everybody walks out of here with a much higher respect for this animal than they had when they came in here.
Like a healthy respect and a personal appreciation for it. So Gatorland, let's talk about some of the different ways that people can see and interact with the gators. One of the things I love that we just don't have at the zoo, we got some great zoos up in Chicago, but you've got maybe one or two alligators, they just sit here. Here you see so many of them interacting in so many different ways and from pretty much every age group.
You do. We have to segregate our animals by size, not so much age, but you put a 3-foot gator in with a 10-foot gator, he's probably going to try to eat him up because that's what they do. But we keep them segregated by size. Springtime, we see the gators bellowing and they're courting. They get very lovable. It's something to watch. And then they go on the nest. They're on nest now in the wild as well as at Gatorland. Lay their eggs. We collect the eggs. In the wild, they have to incubate on their own. A lot of animals predate the nest, which gives food for wild animals. Little babies are 6 to 8 inches long. Animals eat them. And if they grow up out of a nest of 25, if three of them can get to 3 to 4 feet, they've got a good chance of getting up to maturity. But to me, one of the interesting things is that little 6-inch baby alligator can grow up to be, if it's a male, say 14 feet and weigh 800 pounds. That's pretty doggone incredible.
So you get to see them here, you get to interact with them here, and it's got, you know, a lot of the elements of what you would expect at a zoo, but a zoo with a specific niche focus. But you build in some entertainment too. I mean, you can go zip lining, you can do some fun kind of a, you know, theme park style stuff here at Gatorland as well.
You can. We have a zip line course that has 5 towers and a bridge, and you go over alligators and crocodiles. And then we have the only, as far as we know in this country, possibly the world, what we call our gator gauntlet. It's for challenge folks. You can be a quadriplegic in a wheelchair. We have special harnesses and hoists. We can pick you up, put you on that zip line, and send you across our gator breeding marsh. And it's a single zip. But the opportunity for folks that would have to sit on the sidelines and watch their family can now participate with them. And it's been very, very popular.
It sounds cool, and is it a beautiful place, too, a peaceful place to get out there, walk around, kind of be at one with nature in this unique setting. And it is called Gatorland. They are the stars of the show. But let's talk about some of the other animals. I know that the kids just saw some Galapagos tortoises. You've got, it looks like, some cats here. What else can people see?
We've got Florida panther. We've got bobcat. We have an aviary where you can go in and feed the parakeets and the little birds. They get all over you. It's very colorful and very noisy. But a lot of fun. And then we have snakes and bugs, tarantulas and scorpions and all manner of stuff that we use in our up-close show. The interesting thing with that, there's a lot of people don't like snakes. They certainly don't like tarantulas and stuff. But these animals have been handled. They're very friendly. They're very easy to handle. And to see someone hold a tarantula for the first time when they're really phobic, and they go, wow, that isn't bad. And it try to help people get past some of the fears. Again, ignorance will generate fear. And if we can just alleviate, that doesn't mean somebody's going to go out here and start catching tarantulas. That's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to help folks get past that barrier that made them go, oh, I can't stand spiders. Spiders are good. They're really neat animals, and they're good to have around.
You know, as far as this attraction, this location, 400,000 people, and you think about it, so many species and exciting things that are kind of indigenous to the Florida area, but the attendees are not always. I mean, you get people from around the world.
We get them from all over the world. Probably about 60% of our guests are from what we call domestic, the United States. The rest of them come from all over the world, and about 60% of that comes from the U.K., The UK folks love us. They like nature, and that makes us feel good because they want to come see us, and they're very critical, and we must be doing something right.
In the spirit of education, what kind of questions do they ask? Because you think about it, people that live around here and even in America, but certainly Florida, you're sort of familiar, you know, with the alligator, maybe run into them, but in a place like England, I mean, this is as far away as possible. What kind of questions you get?
Well, how do you tell the difference between alligator and crocodile, which gators are darker, have a round nose, crocodile more of a triangular nose? We all get asked, have you ever been bit? We tell them, yeah, we make mistakes. We don't brag about those. We do make mistakes. And then what do you do if a gator starts coming after you? And we tell everybody, trip whoever you're with and then walk off. It's hot. You'll get sick running in the seat.
That's sage advice. You don't have to be the fastest. You just can't be the slowest.
That's
but
right.
But this is important education, though, too. I've always heard kind of zigzag. Is that true, or is that just something people say?
No, the zigzag theory came up a few years ago by somebody that's never been chased by an alligator. If you think about it, excuse me, that theory says that alligators can only run straight, so if you run zigzag, they can't get you. Well, if they're running straight and you're running zigzag, you're going to bump into each other anyway. We tell people stay away from them. Respect them for who they are and what they are. They can't run a long ways. They can run a short ways very fast, easily outswim a person. Don't swim at night. Don't feed them. And if you think you have a problem with an alligator, call FWC, the Florida Wildlife Commission. They'll take care of it. We can't do it. We don't have the permits for it. They do.
Sage advice. Letting the listeners know we're talking with Tim Williams here at Gatorland. And you hit on it, too. The Internet is great, and you can get a lot of information from television, from books. But there is no substitute for actually being here. And just as people know about so many of the big iconic theme parks that people come to in the Orlando area, Gatorland is one of those places you definitely need to get to as well. Spend an afternoon, spend a day here as well at Gatorland. And be one of those 400,000 people. The 400,000 cannot be wrong. So, Tim, before we let you go, let us know. I know the parking is free, which is great. Let us know a little bit about the days that you guys are open and the website where people can get more information.
We're open every day of the year. Christmas is a big time. It's big time. Believe it or not, people are here and they want to go do something. They've already spent a pile of money on Christmas. Hey, we'll go see Gatorland. Check the web, gatorland.com, for specials. And you have to do reservations for the zip line. You can go on there and do your reservations. I think the interesting thing for me, I've been at Gatorland 27 years. I've been handling alligators for 44 years. And for me, this is the best place I've ever worked. It's wonderful. We couldn't do what we do if it were not for the big parks. But a family of four can get in here for less than one admission to the big parks. Again, our parking is free. And I understand there's a big selling point that we sometimes forget. There's no waiting at the ladies' room. I'm not sure what that's all about, but evidently the ladies are like, oh, wow, I like that. So
put that in the brochure.
Yeah, yeah. And springtime is great. March, April, May is a great time to get here because our breeding marsh have 130 gators in a very natural area, attracts all the native wading birds, and we have photographers from around the world come in here to see that. Swamp buggy is going to open up this fall. We have three swamp buggies that are going to ride through the back part of the property. So there's just a lot to see and do, and it's a great family park.
So much to see, learn, and appreciate and feel up close and personal right here at Gatorland. So Tim, thanks so much for what you're doing. Thanks for taking time out, and thanks for being on WGN today.
Thank you. And WGN, I was telling you, I've been watching WGN TV for years. I listen to radio a lot. I travel a lot. So I'm going to find out where WGN is out there when I'm traveling through those areas. And the next time I get up to Chicago, I may give you a call and run by and see you.
38 states and Canada. Make sure, Tim, if you do stop by, bring a gator, and we'll bring it to the studio, and we'll educate, amaze, and maybe scare some of our other hosts.
Sounds good to me.
All right. See, this is it. Makes you want to go there. You know,
that is fantastic.
A little bit of the family fun that you get whenever I think you're in the same room with gators, and then also just a little bit of danger, a little bit of drama, just like there is always with the weather, right, Dino?
Yeah, absolutely. Here's the forecast from the WGN Weather Center. Wednesday, windy with temperatures in the lower 30s. Thursday, cloudy with a chance of light snow flurries. Morning sun on Friday, then increasing cloudiness. Highs in the low to mid-30s. On Saturday, windy with a few flurries and snow showers along Lake Michigan. Temps peak in the upper 20s. And then on Sunday, sunny but very cold with single-digit temperatures. Our current temps, O'Hare, 24, Midway, 25, and Lakefront, 24 degrees.
Oh, that's it? Okay, so we're going to take a break. When we come back, our very own Bob is with us in studio, and he is going to talk about, he actually has one of those amazing Showtime rotisserie ovens. So we'll talk about that. 312-917-200, your thoughts on your favorite pizza place, your favorite infomercial, your favorite baseball movie, and if you've got a close encounter with a gator, you can share that too. Quick break, 720 WGN.
New pro model, I'll slide it back. If you followed all the instructional material, you just...
You slide the window up, you follow all instructions, and you
All right, 720 WGN, high atop Chicago Allstate Skyline Studio. It is Dane in for Nick until 5 a.m. and riding shotgun tonight. Dino Tiberi with us. You got Ben in the booth, and our very own Bob Fukuda is in as well. And you wonder why it said it and forget it. And that was kind of, it reminded me of sort of like the build the wall slogan for like a Trump rally, right? You know, where everyone's kind of in on it, and then you get it and it says, well, don't set it and forget it. Maybe the thing will burn down. And so when it comes to the Showtime rotisserie oven, We had a lot of people, you know, kind of write in saying this is one of their favorite infomercials. So on the entertainment side, it says Showtime. You know, it's made an impact. We did have one of the chefs who said he got it as a gift and said it was tough to clean. And he used it a couple times. But, Bob, you've actually had one. Not only did you have it and use it, but you had it, used it, and then you bought another one.
My wife actually burned it out. She used it so much that it stopped working.
So what was so great? First off, here's what was so great about it, number one. And then where was the Showtime part?
Well, the Showtime is the effect that there's a giant window. So, you know, cheap entertainment. You can sit there and watch your roast or your chicken sit there and turn around.
There it goes around again, honey.
There look. It goes. Hey, wait. Oh, look, it's going again.
Look, big kids, Big Ben Parliament.
So that's it. So it's the Showtime part was that there was a window of kind of a viewing thing, which I guess you don't always get, right?
Right.
And so you get an opportunity to see. But there wasn't any kind of Showtime elements built into, no strobe lights, smoke machine, dancers, laser lights, nothing
like that. Now, the original oven had a metal tray that you could stick on top, and it would actually steam vegetables while it was cooking because it was so hot that it would just actually steam your vegetables while the thing was cooking.
See, that's the core part of the secret of the infomercial is not only does it do things either better, faster, or even in a more entertaining way than you were doing it before, but also can do multiple things. You know, but wait, there's more.
There's more.
Right? And if you could steam vegetables, just like that one thing that's out now, it's got an Instapot on the bottom and an air fryer on top. You just throw your whole, you
know,
dinner,
your whole
in there.
Meal done in one place. That's it.
And it pops right out. All right. Well, thank you, Bob. Now, do you have a favorite pizza?
Aurelio's.
Okay.
Southsider, Aurelio's.
So we got Aurelio's, another vote for Aurelio's from 301 here in Maryland. So the signal is
loud and clear,
getting out there. Inferno Pizza Napolitano. So Inferno Pizza in Maryland is one of those. And Arlington Heights, 847. Arlington Heights is one of the resident locations for a Barnaby's.
that's right.
But also Wayne's Pizza, Arlington Heights, a favorite infomercial was the teeth whitening kit. And a favorite baseball movie was Bull Durham. It's a typo.
Bill Durham. That's Bill Durham. A new one.
I'm guessing. I corrected that myself.
Yes, you did.
And then it says from the 779 guys, if you get out to Sycamore, Sam's Pizza. So another, Sam's kind of in the Rockford zone.
Yeah, far, far west.
The best sausage thin you'll ever eat. Forget about it. And, okay, so then for the 779, unlike Gatorland, there's no naked women at Busch Gardens. So, now, is this true, Bob? Like, you had some Gator interactions, correct?
Yeah.
So, talk about it, because, and I off the air, I told a story, a young adult, we bought a Cayman, which is kind of, for the listeners out there, the uninitiated, kind of like a Gator, but sort of like a Gator Light. Right?
Like a knockoff Gator?
Yeah, I don't know. It still looks like a real Gator, but it's smaller. It was maybe like a foot long, and it grew a little bit longer. We could sneak up on it and grab it. After a while, it got smart, and then it would just bite us, so we got rid of it. So that's my story. So, Bob, what's
yours? But how did you get rid of it is the question.
Oh, yeah. We gave it back to the pet store.
Oh, yeah. And then you didn't just let it go?
No.
Oh, okay.
Oh, we just flushed it down the toilet. You know, no. Yeah, it wasn't one that ends up like on the beach eating someone. No guilt there. So, Bob, what's your story?
Back in the 90s, this is like 96, 97, I was working for Rock 103.5, and ManCow wanted to do a remote in the Wisconsin Dells at a place called Serpent Safari, which is no longer there.
Go figure.
Yeah.
So this was one of those kind of a niche, you know, like pet...
Or petting, yeah, it's a zoo. You know, everything was behind glass. So the big story was, this place had a little stage. And in front of the stage was a snakeskin, and it was a 23-foot-long snakeskin.
Wow.
So they had this reticulated python, and the owner went to feed it, and it bit him and started wrapping around him. And his partner grabbed a knife, and he was, like, stabbing the snake, and it wouldn't let go. The snake didn't let go until the guy was dead.
What?
Yeah. So when the snake let go, then they killed it, and they got it off of him.
But so, wait, the snake was dead?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But the guy, it technically killed the guy first.
Whoa. This is like, do you have to sign like a waiver form for you get into Critterland or whatever it was
called?
Well,
no, I mean, everything was behind glass, but, you know, we got to go behind the scenes.
Wow.
Just like you, Dane.
Just like, yeah. See, Dino? Yeah. That's where you look at it. So it's all fun until someone
gets wrapped up by a snake. Yep.
You need to mobilize the Ginsu to kill the snake. All right, so we're going to take a break. Thank you, Bob. Thank you for that. Share your stories here. We're going to take a quick break. Then we'll come back and send it to news. It's Dane here in for Nick until 5720 WGN.
Any other cosmetic in the market, it won't grow hair.
but watch how it works,
okay,
ladies.
Right, okay. We're okay. Ready. This is okay. Great. Okay, look at the smile on Art's face. Look at the smile on Art's face. Now, Ron, you're about 3 inches from his scalp.
Right. And that's and, all you do.
And you're just spraying it like you mm-hmm. would with a bottle of hairspray or something.
It's as simple
what
as
happened?
That. Well, I'm going to let that dry. Let me use the finishing spray
wet.
Over here.
Okay, let's okay. Go. Now, the finishing spray is used after you've done the coloring you need.
That's correct.
So that it will not rub off on your hands.
That's it.
That's the last thing you want.
He's done.
You want to rub it off it on your hands. Minutes. You know, maybe it's a hot day, though, too. Maybe a little bit of, you know what, your hair sweating down onto your...
Yeah.
Into your eyes.
Yeah. All of a sudden, your eyes are burning. Wait a minute. What's that? That's a hair I just sprayed on my head.
So that's the GLH great-looking hair. And it's one of those things, you know, you just, like, spray some stuff. I'm wondering how you do it where you can, you know, because it's one thing with the Flowbee where you got to look in the mirror and then you're cutting. And it seems a little complicated. You know, there's a level of difficulty there. And if you're just going to spray on a hairdo, you'd think...
How difficult is that?
It's just be different
aim
every,
and spray.
It'd be different every time. I tell you... For the ladies out there that are able to, this has got to be difficult, that where they kind of put on, it's a style now, you know, where you kind of do your own eyebrows
yeah.
kind of thing. Like, I'm sure if I did it, I would, like, one would be way up. You know, like, can you smell what the rock is cooking all the time?
Right, exactly. Put the old stink eye out there.
Yeah.
And then you could do the Michael Dukakis the next time.
I mean, just keep it fresh. Keep it fresh. Vito and Nick's was another pizza that someone had brought in. And you still have a handful of minutes in order to go ahead. You can text in 312-981-7200. You can certainly call in and share either your favorite pizza place. We did your favorite baseball movies as both teams, North and South Side. And, of course, all the other teams are out at spring training. And then also your favorite infomercial. I'm not sure how we got locked into the infomercial side of things, but we've definitely... got locked into it. A lot of people had some really exciting ones that they were into, and it's been a profitable business. So to the oldies, $200 million. You got the Thighmaster, Chuck Norris. Where would he be, right?
Without the Total Gym, not as far as he would be, although he is Chuck Norris.
Walker, Texas Ranger. Wasn't that his?
Yeah, that was his.
That was his thing. So then you think about stinkiness, and you said stink eye. You're never going to get that when you have the VIPoo. And this is something that... This is another infomercial, and they've built all sorts of, and I think we've all
genius kind
of,
marketing on that one.
We've all found ourselves there, you know, the whole like, you don't want to go in there, right? And that's like the way that you would say. Now you don't even have to say that at all, right? You can just walk out like nothing happened.
I wasn't even in here.
Yeah, and but it's called VIP. And so what you do is you go in there and you spray this stuff, and somehow, and they've got diagrams and a little kind of show that shows how it works. It forms a protective barrier, holding in, you know, the nastiness.
Keeping the stink away from you.
Yeah.
VIPoo.
I don't know that we got to, and for one of the things, talking about some of those favorite baseball movies of all time, and they do run the gamut, whether it's the comedy side of things, you know, with Bill Leff in Major League, or whether it's some of those darker ones tackling some issues like Eight Men Out. Did you share yours? I know we all kind of commented on things.
Well, we did early on. I mean, The Natural is one of, that's in the top five. Obviously, Field of Dreams is in there. Bull Durham, as you called it earlier, that one. I mean, Bull Durham, that one's in there.
Here's what I did is I read it Ron Burgundy style. It said Bull Durham, but I knew secretly inside using my instincts.
That was Bull Durham.
It's probably Bull Durham. Although I'm sure there's some Bull Durhams out there that shout out to those guys.
I mean, Major League's in there. You know, if you talk about movies that are strictly, you know, with a lot of baseball or just a hint of baseball, I mean... There's some other ones that, according to our list, had missed the cut. Angels in the Outfield, we briefly touched on that one. Not on the 25 list, but The Babe.
The Babe?
With John Goodman.
Pig-related one. No, that wasn't Das Babe the Pig. So, so this was John Goodman as Babe Ruth.
That's right. And then, of course, one of my favorites, Brewster's Millions with Richard Pryor and John Candy, is Richard Pryor was a minor league baseball player who comes into a bunch of money, and that was a middle 80s movie. But
nice.
This was on not too long ago, as a matter of fact, on cable. So that's a good, if you get a chance to watch it. And you got nothing better to do. Brewster's Millions.
Note those key caveats. Ben, you got something? You're giving us the high sign?
Yeah, because I don't know if we... I don't remember if we brought it up or not, but it's my mom's favorite baseball movie, and that's The Rookie.
Oh, the Jim Morris story.
Yeah, with
Dennis Quaid.
With Dennis Quaid, yeah.
Yeah, that's another great one.
Dennis Quaid, he's an accomplished pitchman. I love him in those new insurance commercials.
All of a sudden, there he is. Who knew?
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So then Tough Guy Pizza and Sammy's Pizza in Kankakee County is from the 815, someone had suggested.
Oh, that one there, Tough Guy's Pizza.
Yeah.
You could do some marketing with that one. Come on in here.
Then they had,
if you don't come in, we're going to come find you. Tough Guy's Pizza.
Yeah, they had like panty waist pizza. It didn't work out. Okay, so here from the 262 from Cookie, dear Dane and Dino, if you get to Twin Lakes, Wisconsin, Wednesday is half price pizza at Sunset Grill on Lake Mary. Awesome. So there you go.
Road trip. You're going up to Twin Lakes, Wisconsin.
And then here's an infomercial too. Who is it? Was it Jake the Snake Roberts? Was he a professional wrestler?
He was. I actually met Jake the Snake at Harry Carey's a few years ago.
Now, here's the thing that he had done.
I got a picture with him, too.
A lot of them are, it's the fitness thing, right? You know, you've got people coming out there, whether it's P90X or whether it's, you know, the Gazelle with Tony Little or anything. So Jake the Snake Roberts had his own, believe it or not, kind of tough guy yoga that he had created. It was his own yoga program that he had created that took out all of the kind of things that maybe would lend some people to kind of stay away from yoga or not embrace it. Where instead of having, you know, the downward facing dog and warrior two, you know, he had more tougher names for some of these things.
Right. So that was Jake the Snake's version of it?
I'm pretty sure. Ben, can you get a chance to look that up? And when we do the commercial, it was yoga, right? It was Jake the Snake Roberts yoga. And I think he did great with it. It was an infomercial, made a lot of money. And he would do, you know, they had a lot of these testimonials where you get people that, you know, were either, you know, super unhealthy, you know, not having a great time in life and needed some help. And yoga is really actually a pretty decent thing. I've done yoga a couple times. I should do it a couple more times. And
shouldn't we all?
Yeah. And it worked out really great for him, the whole kind of yoga thing. So 312-981-7200, your favorite infomercial. We're going to add some of those in there. Your favorite pizza. So many of them. I'm surprised that we've got some from, you know, Rockford, from Kankakee. We've got a bunch from Wisconsin. And we're going to put those in there. And then when we pull somebody out, they're going to win a Nancy's Pizza, $25 gift card for Nancy's Pizza. So I'm excited about that.
That's good stuff. And someone's going to enjoy that. That's great pizza.
Your favorite baseball movie, since both teams are in spring training, is going to win a $25 gift card to Bona Beef. So stay tuned for that as well. We're going to take a break. We'll come back, and then we'll have some more stuff before. Hey, Ben, does he have to do the weather thing right now? All right, it's time for some weather.
All right, here's the forecast from the WGN Weather Center. Wednesday, windy with temperatures in the lower 30s. Thursday, cloudy with a chance of light snow, flurries. Friday, morning sun, then increasing cloudiness, high in the low to mid-30s. Saturday, windy with a few flurries and snow showers along Lake Michigan. Temps peak in the upper 20s. Sunday, sunny but very cold with single-digit temperatures. Our current temps now are O'Hare 24, Midway 25, and at the lakefront 24 degrees.
All right, well, so you heard it here, and it's Diamond Dallas Page with the yoga. So
not Jake the Snake.
Well, maybe it's like the Slanket and the Snuggie. Maybe Jake the Snake had one, it just didn't work
Diamond,
out.
Diamond Dallas Snake, maybe that's what it's all about.
No. Very successful, too. We're going to have a little more information for that when we come back. But quick break. Right now it's staying in for Nick until 5 a.m. here on 720 WGN.
Hi, it's Vince with ShamWow. This is for the house, the car. A regular towel doesn't work wet. This works wet or dry. It holds 20 times its weight in liquid. Cuts the job in half. Doesn't drip. Doesn't make a mess. Wring it out. You wash it in the washing machine. Here's some cola, wine, coffee, pet stains. Not only is the damage going to be on top, there's your mildew. That is going to smell. Look at this. Put on the spill. Turn it over. Without even putting any pressure, 50% of the cola right there. You following
see?
The camera guy?
Look at that.
The other 50%, the that. Color...
You see what it is, 720 WGN, high atop Chicago Allstate Skyline Studio. It is Dane in for Nick for a handful of minutes until 5. And one of the great kind of infomercial guys of all time, Vince Schlomi. What is real name? He was actually in a movie with Adam Sandler in that one. It was the movie where Al Pacino was in it, I think. And
when he played his sister. I don't know the name of the movie, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is a guy that has reached like incredible stardom. He's made tons of money with all of those things, and it's one of those things where you create a product that what it does is does the same exact thing. I think they did studies, and it wasn't really any more absorbent than anything else.
than a favorite. I had a box. Someone gave it to me as a gift. A German product, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
They make great stuff.
Sure.
I think that's what he said.
It was Jack and Jill was the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Jack and Jill. Yeah, that is. Yeah, you're right.
Adam Sandler's made a lot of good ones and maybe a couple that weren't so great. You know, and so here's the other ones too, is on the, and I think everybody knows someone who has had some of these, the Bowflex annual revenue, $193 million for the Bowflex, though it's got a lot of competition for the more compact, less costly fitness in a box programs. Cause this was back with like Nordic Track, right? Where you had to buy something. And some of these, you know, you think some of them are cheaper, they break it up. It's two payments of $29, but the Flowbee at well over like 120, 130 bucks is pretty expensive. You know, and then you got the Bowflex is, you know, it's a pretty expensive, yeah, I don't know how much, I think it was like maybe $500 or $400. I mean, it was a decent amount of money that you had, much like the Nordic Track, and you had to get these things and bring them in. And then you had people kind of streamlining that entire process, with like the P90X or Insanity, where really all you need was you. You know, all you need is you in a room jumping around.
And a video, and that's it, done.
Yeah, and a video to go ahead and do some of those on the yoga side. And we had people call, because I said it was Jake the Snake. I don't know why. You know, I don't have all my wrestler flashcards. you know, and those guys are in relative, you know, some, I guess, depending on their character, you know, in relatively good shape. But so it was Diamond Dallas Page actually had
DDP.
The yoga. And I think Oak Lawn, I think someone had texted in that they've got some classes and things out there. And what he did is he took yoga, which is, you know, it's got its own kind of sensibility, right? You know, where it's just more of a Zen thing, and made it into more of a, hey, Mean Gene, Hulkamania running wild kind of thing. I thought it was Jake the Snake Roberts. I think probably because we were talking about snakes and lizards. And
could get that out of your head.
And gators. Yeah. And
oh, my.
Yeah. And so I was thinking of that. But it turns out that Jake was involved with it. That there is sort of a connection, right, Ben? It's like, so Diamond Dallas Page showed Jake how to do yoga, and so that's how he got involved with the Diamond Dallas Page yoga.
Yeah, basically, that's where Jake the Snake hit its sobriety, is Diamond Dallas Page kind of called him out on it and introduced him to this.
Put the beer down and get into this yoga.
Yeah, and brought him back.
That's how you work it. That's it. You know, get him out there, get him doing some yoga. Next thing you know, he's right back at it again. I saw him. He looked good a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
I
mean,
it's great. The snake. He was doing the right things.
Still alive.
Yeah, still alive. Still flipping off the cameras any chance he got.
It's in his character. It's in the script. You know, he's a feisty guy. From the 847, and we've had people share their favorite pizzas. Joe's Pizza in Wheeling is great for thin crust, and Wapagetti's also in Wheeling's thick crust or pan pizza. They also have a great low-carb pizza where the crust is actually... Okay, it is low-carb, but it doesn't sound healthy. It says that the crust is actually made of sausage.
Come on, now. That is low-carb, yeah. No question about it. You might have a grabber when you're done, though.
Joe's is amazing. I get that every once in a while because I live out that way.
Okay,
wow. And it's one of those places where it comes the old school in the bag.
Wait a minute. Okay, first off, we're breaking some new ground here because you mentioned that the crust is made of sausage.
That's Wapagetti's, but Joe's
it's
is
in a
more,
bag?
Yeah.
What do you mean it's in a bag?
So they,
it's a bag of
they
pizza?
Cook it up, but like, yeah, they put it instead, you know, like most places put it in a box now.
Oh, gotcha.
It's the old school way where it goes in this bag sleeve type thing, and you just tear the bag open, you know, when you take it home and open it up and eat.
You know, I think... Last time I had something at Taco Bell, I had a quesadilla. They did the same thing there.
Noting the similarities.
I got a picture of it now, and I don't know what he's talking about.
And then from the 773, Phil's Pizza at 88th and Ridgeland in Oak Lawn. They started out in Bridgeport, the best. So you've got a lot of these places that aren't necessarily I mean, they're household names for their neighborhoods, right? And they're kind of the places that are making pizza, making a great, a huge fan base. We talk about it, you know, on a Friday or Saturday night. It's just all about like, okay, please hold. Okay, please hold. It takes an hour to get stuff. But I think it just shows. And that is one of the things that's kind of unique about Chicago and the Chicagoland areas. You've got, you know, such a, like a kind of a rich, you know, and also up Wisconsin a little bit. I mean, we've got places and people calling in from Maryland. All over the place. Well, I don't know. I mean, that's just... That's just random. We got a crab cake pizza.
That's right.
But you have, you know, a lot of these ma and pa places, independent restaurants that are really not only being successful as businesses, but also just making an impact where people are inspired enough to like hear something and want to share and give a shout out and kind of support what it is that they're doing. And that's why in this area you don't have, you know, your Domino's. I mean, they exist, but they just don't have that same foothold. Where in some communities you go a little bit further west, you know, north, south, or whatever, that may be the only pizza place in town.
Yeah, I think it's a credit to all to where we live with all the different places. I mean, there's so many great pizza places, and just food in general around here is so good. And you go from one place to another, and you find out that, how come I didn't know about any of this? You know, and now we've gotten all these great suggestions from, you know, our listeners here. So I'm going to have to start doing a little sampling when I'm on the road.
It's a work-life balance, because I think most of these infomercials, except for like VIP, obviously, that's for something. It's somehow related, right? Because it's all part of a system.
Right.
Even it's like health-related on the infomercial side. That seems to be a lot of the ones we get, the 224, the health rider. What was the health rider? Was that the one where it was like a bike that would go back and forth and you would ride it? Ben, no, are you aware of the health rider? We have shake weight. Yeah. You had all of those kind of things. So you've got the health side and then you've got the pizza side. I think we've touched it all today.
Yeah. You were right about it. The health rider. It's kind of like a row machine. Push back and forth.
That's what you want to do. You want to put, and then at the 815, Uncle Lair's Pizza in downtown Plano.
Old Uncle Lair.
Are you familiar with that?
No, Little but Tommy? I know where Plano is, so I did not know that was there.
Okay.
Another one, I have to check it out.
So we're getting, so these are, I think, unless it's just old Uncle Lair himself calling in with his own jet. But even so, hey, there's a motivation there. So we learned a little bit about Barnaby's, and then the 312, Jet's gluten-free pizza with the sesame seed crust is amazing. Now, I'm wondering if it's the Jet's pizza that is, you know, I think it was
around.
It's a market that came maybe, what, 5 years ago? I think it's it Detroit.
Like, I think it's something like that, yeah.
Yeah, Detroit-based. It's kind of square. And
I've never had one, but
no, it's pretty good. I mean, I like pizzas of all kinds. We've talked about it. You know, Lou's is great. You know, and Aurelio's is great. Spaconopoli, you know, a Neapolitan style wood fire pizza is great. Occasionally, late night, you know, a Jack's pizza if you can doctor it up yourself.
Yep.
I don't think this is the wrong way. A pizza, even when it's not great, still pretty good. Still pretty good. And then from the 309, and this sounds like it's sort of in the that's the Peoria kind of range. This is where Blake Stubbs, if you run into him on the street. Like,
where are we going for pizza, Blake?
I'll talk. What was the Freedom Brothers Pizza in Plainfield, Naperville, en route to 59?
Freedom Brothers. I'm not aware of that one. I live on that direction. I didn't know it was there.
But that's a great name, though, right?
Absolutely.
And then from the 262, Dane Bodie Bake Shop, 306 Main Street, Twin Lakes, Wisconsin, French bread for pizza dough. What do you think about that?
Yeah, we had that another Twin Lakes reference earlier.
Yeah, different person, similar, so pizza, that's like a bastion, right, out there. And then you got from the 847, Burt's Pizza in Morton Grove. So these are great, right?
Yeah, Burt's, you know, these are names that should stick out. You'd be able to remember that.
And then you got Joe's Pizza has coupons on their website. What should a pizza cost? 312-981-7200. We've got just a couple minutes, and you can add in your thoughts, and we're going to, Ben is going to pick one of our winners, and we're going to name off number one, the person who had the best, or at least the movie that we pick out, and it's randomly, everybody's just as equal as far as your favorite baseball movie, and then your favorite pizza place will pick one of those, and they're going to get a coupon for Nancy's Pizza, $25 gift card. But what should a pizza cost, just in general? Because I think it really does run the gamut. You've got, and our kids, and thank goodness, they are oblivious to pizza in general. They'll love a Little Caesars pizza as much as they'll love something that's $35, and those are like $5 hot and ready. You know, so what should it cost? Like, what should a pizza cost? What do you think, Dino?
Well, you know, it's to me, if you're going to get a large pizza, which is, you know, I would say under $20.
Are you sure? Okay. Yeah. I like that.
I mean, I would say that's probably a fair price. If you go, I mean, I've had them as much as 30. It just depends what ingredients you put on it. You know, you get extra cheese, you get, you know, a bunch of different ingredients on there as opposed to your, you know, cheese and sausage or cheese and pepperoni pizzas, you know, then it's, but I'd say under 20. If you can get it under 20, you're getting a decent deal there.
I think you are too, because some of these places, you know, the pizza may be cheaper than the ingredients are $2.50 each if you want to put some stuff on it. From the 630 St. Louis, Arnie's Pizza in Lafayette, Indiana. They've got a couple there. Bill's Pub in Mundelein, and this is from Cindy coming in from the 224. So many places. We are going to take a, I think we're going to take a break in just a second, and then we're going to come back and we'll name somebody as far as one of our winners, not only for the Nancy Pizza, for just kind of adding in your favorite pizza of all time. Overwhelming response. I cannot imagine. There must have been 100 different places that got shared, some shared more than once. And then also your favorite baseball movie for the Bona Beef gift card as well. So quick break, and then we're going to come back, and then we'll kind of pick our winners, and then we'll send it to the opening bell with Steve Grzanich. So keep it here, 720 WGN.
Today, bullies aren't just in the hallways at school or on the playground. Now, cyberbullies can taunt your child with texts, posts, and videos any time of day through mobile devices and computers. If your child is being bullied, they may feel helpless, have difficulty sleeping, skip school, or even run away from home. Talk to your child about what they are going through and let them know they are not alone. For help, call the National Runaway Switchboard at 1-800-RUNAWAY or visit 1-800-RUNAWAY.org.
And we are back, 720 WGN. One last call. We've got a second here. Daddy Man from the 773, welcome to the show. You got a pizza thought before we wrap it up?
720 WGN. One last.
I'm hearing an echo in the background.
I guess not. Thanks. I'm sorry. She had Palermo's Pizza was one of the ones. So, so Ben, who do you got? We're going to pick, and of course, everybody's equal. Just a random choice for the person who's going to win the Nancy gift card.
Yeah, for the pizza, let's. You know what? Just because I love the name. Let's go with Sammy's pizza, from the tough guy in Kankakee.
All right, that sounds good. And then all those great movies on the favorite baseball movies of both of our teams, including our flagship White Sox, are at spring training. What was what's the randomly chosen best baseball movie or favorite?
Hold on. I got to scroll down here a little bit because we got a lot of pizza texts in the last hour.
Everybody's awake and they like pizza.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a really good one earlier that I remember, and I'm trying to find it now.
We're in overtime.
I know. We're in overtime.
All right, well, we'll pick one and we'll get to him while we're in the news. Stay tuned for Steve Grzanich and the opening bell. Right now, though, we're going to wrap it up. Thanks to everybody listening to the show. Thanks to everybody who participated. Dino, thanks for coming in and
talking.
Thanks, Dane. Pizza, infomercials, and a certain amount of nonsense. Thanks, Ben, for everything that you did.